this. It's Thursday, July 9th, 2026, and the U.S. bombed the Iranian nuclear reactor. And
the Alex Jones Network.
And a lot more.
Tomorrow's news. Today.
Russia's threatened to nuke NATO. Oh, we're off to the races.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
TV viewer watching on cable and TV stations and X and Rumble. Those are the places we're not banned. Still banned everywhere else. You can see the United States bombing the main nuclear reactor and nuclear research site in Iran. So Trump obviously wasn't playing games when he said, I got a lot more serious targets to hit. That place is full of uranium. And if you just inhale a little bit of that, you're going to die of lung cancer in a few months to a year, sometimes quicker. Not good for anybody in the end of the day. And Iran rained missiles down all over the Middle East. They're extremely pig-headed. They're not going to give up. This is the new Vietnam, ladies and gentlemen. So as much as I don't like the mullahs, and at the end of the day, can separate the two things, that I don't like Israel running our foreign policy and dragging us into this. At the same time, I don't like the mullahs, and they are dictators. The dog wasn't going to hunt. So I say to Mark Levin and others, why are you trying to put round pegs in square holes, dumbos? But you're not dumbos. You just want to pull us completely into the Middle East to back you fully because the whole world's turned against you. And instead of just getting quiet for a while and taking your gains you've gotten, basically defeating your regional enemies, except for Iran completely, no, you got to go for broke. And you've had a lot of success with that type of boldness. Fortune favors the bold, as Special Air Services slogan goes. That was the play written by the greatest playwright ever back in jolly old England. William Shakespeare, he wrote one of my favorite plays, Julius Caesar, and then he says there's a tide in the affairs of men when taken to the flood leads on to fortune. Well, my fortune is liberty and freedom and a pro-human future, but all these different power blocks are megalomaniacs, and they want total control. They want it now, and you see that throughout history, how that ends up wrecking civilization and killing billions of people in the aggregate, hundreds of millions in the last century, and we're all teed up for that. You have Russia saying they're going to escalate into full invasion of Ukraine, threatening to use nukes on NATO. They're doing it again. Losing in Ukraine is Putin finally down to his nukes. That's the Hill newspaper out of D.C. I don't really agree that they're losing, but it is a quasi-stalemate. And the Russian people, with conservatively probably 500,000 dead Russians, that's a very low estimate, but it's probably higher, and it's probably double that with the Ukrainians. And I'm giving you low estimates. They say it's 2 million total on both sides together. I don't know if those numbers are accurate, but it's a lot. It's a lot of body bags. And so Putin's under major pressure from the Russians. They've had international polling groups in there that confirm the Russian polls. About 89%, 87%, depending on the poll, of the Russians are pissed and just want to go to full war. And if we had somebody on our border attacking us all these years and we were losing hundreds of thousands of people, it's different when a war is right on your border. That's when people go crazy, because that's instinctive. That's what real war, when people are actually attacking your country. And make no mistake, NATO bragged they started this whole thing in the last 15 years. So it's a serious situation. We got so much today. I mean, this is a massive transmission, three huge guests. We have the Tyler Robinson pretrial that's unbelievable, and we've just got so much more. We had the Sneeko debate where he literally lied his ass off, or he's very stupid. We just got so much to cover today.
Producing the AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter Showerhead. You're not just drinking tap water. You're showering in it, breathing the steam, and soaking your skin in it every day. When you take a hot shower, that hot water opens your pores and creates steam. That means chlorine, lead, and many other contaminants in your tap water can hit your skin, your hair, and the air you breathe inside your own bathroom. And unlike most shower filters on the market, this has independent third-party testing. SGS testing showed a 95%+ lead reduction using the system, over 99% chlorine removal, and many other chemicals. The system installs directly onto a standard shower head. It literally just takes seconds. No plumber, no tools, no modification to your plumbing. Regularly $139. Today you can get it for just $97.99. That's 30% off. VIP members of GallagShipStore.com get it for as low as $69.99. That is beyond a steal. Secure yours now while supplies last at GallagShipStore.com.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder, another world, another time, his Bible was green and good, until the crystal cracked.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
We all need to look in the mirror and do some deep reflection on where the world is today, because we are sliding into total Armageddon, the digital AI apocalypse, nuclear hellfire, and more on our current trajectory. The only reason we haven't destroyed ourselves yet is we've had a lot of really thoughtful, smart people. Some of them weren't perfect, some of them were evil, but at least they had self-preservation in mind and not this normalcy bias that everything's just going to continue on as it always has. That's how Rome fell. That's how Constantinople fell. That's how the oldest recorded civilization there on the Tigris, Euphrates, fell. And we're going to be getting into all of that today. Let me try again. And I've never been successful at this, because each time I mention a headline, I want to actually give you the details of it and start halfway covering it there and then never even get back to it. So I'm doing it today. This is total discipline. Finally, after 32 years, it will happen. I don't know. The first few years, I was instinctively better at just mentioning what was coming up and then actually getting into it. Let me tell you what's coming up. The war has escalated completely out of control on day 131. The U.S. has blown up the main nuclear reactor in Iran. Iran is raining missiles down all over the place. Russia's putting out more threats to start nuking NATO countries. We'll be getting to that. We then have new countless videos in the U.K. of street preachers just reading from the Bible being arrested, and people quietly praying be arrested, and then the Muslims do whatever they want. And then we have footage out of Texas of a female cop, just like in the UK, the new enforcer, saying, I'm going to arrest you if I don't like your speech. It's the exact, they're 5 years ahead of us, folks. That's why I obsess over other countries. I care about people too, but I mean, it's called empathy, but this is an exact plan. Globalist plan. That's coming up. The flock cameras have really come to a head. And they're listening to you. They're watching you. They're tracking you. Different elements of corrupt police around the country. I'm not saying all the police are corrupt. On average, police are very professional. And in society, local police and county police, on average, are a good cross-section of, I'd say, some of the best hardworking people we have. Same thing with firefighters and others. I've just studied it myself. I've seen it. But when you give godlike power to these governmental groups, who watches them? We have cops busted all over the United States and similar systems in the UK and Europe using flock cameras to stalk women, harass people, set people up, and also a bunch of innocent people, because the AI will get a zero confused with a O. And so people are getting SWAT teamed. They're getting killed. It's like the movie Brazil. It's kind of an updated, futuristic version of 1984, produced by Terry Gilliam. Great film. But it's in the future, but it's like old tech, new tech, like Dune. And a fly falls in the typewriter and changes one of the letters from like Buttle to Tuttle or something like that. So they SWAT team and kill this guy, and it causes a whole chain reaction. They SWAT team him, take him, torture him to death, and it causes this whole chain reaction up into the higher levels of the government. Yeah, here's the scene of the SWAT teaming. And then I mean, I'm seeing articles every day of crap like this. And there's a lot of cases of it, but we'll be getting to that. I've got like 20 big things on this. And then people miss the forest for the trees when I cover something like this. And I guess people, influencers, want to dunk on me and they want to misrepresent and show short clips. And that's fine. They're going to do that. But I've seen them doing this with the flock cameras. Why is Jones covering up for flock cameras? I'm not. Your phones are even worse than the flock cameras. They're listening. They're tracking you. And now they're starting to offload that data to all these agencies and governments. It's been going on for decades, but now it's mainlining. There's smart meters on your house spying on you. The rings are even worse than flock. So like flock's a copperhead and your phone is a king cobra. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I told you when I was getting divorced, I hadn't bought a new TV in a long time, 14 years ago, and I bought this big smart TV, Samsung, and I thought, why don't I read the terms of service instead of clicking it, instead of ignoring it, just clicking no, I'm not going to read it. It says, you need to read this first, and it says, literally, I showed photos of it. You're being listened to and watched in your home or business, wherever this TV is. Samsung is reviewing it. Other third parties will have access to it. Don't do anything that you don't want to be discovered. I mean, it was just very straightforward. Like Eric Schmidt used to say, don't do anything online. You don't want the world to know. Well, people don't know that the smart TVs, for really two decades, do this. See, I'm already covering the story. It's just, I'm not taking away from the flock. In fact, it's very good people finally, with flock, got pissed and got upset because there's the Great Awakenings here, but kind of the first thing they see is now the bottom of the rabbit hole. And I'm just telling you, flock is like the entrance to the rabbit hole. Like on a video game, it's like the first level boss. So I'm just saying that ain't the bottom of the rabbit hole. But here's the difference. They're now, with all these technologies, rolling out the accessibility, and flock does sell the services to police, so they're starting to use it. In fact, pull it from yesterday's stack. I already threw yesterday's stack in the trash. I should have saved it. I was in a hurry. So maybe just come pull it out of here. Pull me the articles about EU regulations go in effect today. All cars must have camera facing the driver, recording you in live time, sending it back to AI, just like the Meta glasses. I wanted to tie that in, and I didn't really hit that properly yesterday. I'm going to tie that into this. My point is, imagine, by law, a camera watching you on wireless internet, sending it all back with AI for humans to review. And you're like, well, that's the EU. It's the law here. It's in the same act that Biden signed 4 years ago. But get this. It was already in the cars before they made a law. The point is that it's in Australia. It's in Germany. It's in the UK. It's in Canada. It's in every Western country. As of this year, they're all coordinated. Is the law there's kill switches, the law there's hidden microphones, the law there's hidden cameras. And now they're telling you. So the point is, now we're at rollout time. Agenda 2021 is getting you up to the year 2020 and rolling out from beta to operational. By 2030, we are in the electronic straitjacket, in their own words. So that's, I said I wouldn't stop and start covering, but that's just a little prelude, and I will cover it. I got all these clips. Got to 2 hours unless alone. And that ties into this. Deadly bacteria found in major cities' wastewater tied directly to Zuckerberg's 800 million data center. Deadly bacteria found in U.S. cities' wastewater. Good old Zuckerberg. Look at this. We got a bunch of other big ones on AI, where now the AI companies are just going to go to all the Native American reservations, just like casinos do, and bypass everybody. So that's all coming up. Big Tech's now targeting Native American land for massive data centers. Another big article, America's support for capitalism has declined over the last decade because we haven't had capitalism. We've had crony, globalist, corporate fascism using communist ideology and socialist ideology to control people. That's the model, and the globalists describe that themselves. Then we are also going to be getting into the Tyler Robinson trial, and you have the footage of him clearly what looks like the broke-down rifle barrel in his pants. And then because there's different shots of him changing his shirt, people want to believe that a pro-trans guy could be violent, even though it's an epidemic of these people. And so people are wedded to the fact that he's innocent. And so people are saying it's AI, it's all fake, even though it's been scanned and it's not AI. You can use other AI systems because they put watermarks on. And as much long as we've had, it's natural for people not to believe anything. And I still don't know what really happened here because of all the anomalies and all the cover-ups. But we're going to see a lot more in this trial. And we've got a former prosecutor, Lionel, joining us in the fourth hour, or in the fourth day of the pretrial. It's going to go on for months and months with the trial. And he's got the real skinny on things. He'll be joining us. Robert Barnes tomorrow is tracking it as well in a special Saturday show and more. But in the fourth hour, I've got a lot on that. But I'm going to wait till then and have him on to be getting to that. That's going to be very, very important. And if you can't watch it or listen to it live now, we archive it all at alexjoneslive.com. Not just the main show, but big chunks of each hour. Everything's cut up into pieces for you and labeled so you can find what you want. I want to share at alexjoneslive.com with the live feeds and the chopped up reports for you and the boil downs and the articles and more at alexjoneslive.com. And of course, if you want to defeat the globalists, it's critical to promote that link on your email list, text message list, in person to person. Tell those you share it to share it, and tell them those they tell to share it to share it, and tell perfect strangers about it, because that's how we have human intelligence and human agency on the ground, as modern Paul reveres. And we also have big developments with election fraud, people being caught red-handed, what's going on with the SAVE Act. Spencer Pratt coming out and saying, here's the evidence of fraud. Of course, it was overwhelming. I said it while it was happening. But we've got big developments there. And then, when I say and then, there's a lot more than just that. But that's some of the top stuff. We'll cover things as it breaks. But I had seen his work for years and knew he was a clown and knew that he was just basically a chameleon and a flip-flopper and sociopathic in the way he acts all nice and friendly to people, but then doubles back around and flip-flops on issues, sometimes on a daily basis, and also just puts on a confidence game. And that's Sneeko, who came out last week and said, everybody will submit to Islam. Every home will soon be Islam. We're taking all your cities over, which the Islamists are in the West, because they're a swing vote, and they vote 99% basically as a bloc. He, in an hour and 15-minute debate I had with him yesterday, he literally would sit there and stonewall and say, the Quran does not say convert to Islam or pay the jizya tax or we'll kill you. And I'm going to get to that later in the hour, but I have the Quran. I pulled five passages saying, take the sword to somebody. And then he would play games and I would say, it's in Hadith and in the Quran. He'd go, the Hadith are not in the Quran. I said Hadith and the Quran, not Hadith and the Quran. And there are a lot of Qurans that actually have some of them in there, but they're seen by Islamic scholars, Sunni, Shiite, as gospel. But I have the Quran. Five times. So we'll give you that. And I said, literally, there's thousands of imams. I mean, I've seen literally over the years hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of imams on national TV, you name it, in front of huge crowds of people saying, you got a choice. You convert to Islam, you pay the tax, or we kill you. As you say, we slit your throat, we cut your head off. And I mean, I told the crew this morning, I said, don't get too many. Just give me the first five. They typed it in, got me five examples right here. I mean, but I'm going to show you the Quran. So he just sits there. But one time he slipped up and I said, you know, women don't have any rights, basically animals under Orthodox Islam. And he goes, yeah, you got to keep the women down. And then he said, look how decadent women are in the West. And I said, just because in the West, the women have been brainwashed by the left and put in as the bosses and work for the system, men shouldn't let women dominate them. Men should be men. Men should be strong. Men should be leaders. But we need to be on a team. Just because the West has become extreme and decadent and screwed up doesn't mean then we accept marrying 7-year-olds and 9-year-olds. And today there's new examples in places like Pakistan where the guy murders two of his child brides. You're allowed to. He said they were disrespectful. And then he just married another child. And that's totally fine. And you got to have four men, if you're a woman, four men witnesses that saw the penetration. A woman can't even say somebody raped her. You got to have four witnesses that saw the penetration. Or you go to prison or get executed. I mean, this is just... And then he's like, oh, like it was a secret or something. Ooh, you had Blair White on your show, so you're LGBT whatever. And I'm just like, what? I had Blair White on my show like 15 years ago when they first transitioned, and then again, lives in Austin as a trans person who's against targeting kids, who is against trying to force people to do it. And my point is, I don't hate people because the way they are. I hate the left targeting children. That was the whole point of having Blair White on the show. And I said, no, you're right. I don't support throwing trans people and gays off buildings like Islam does. You're absolutely right. My point is that I don't have a phobia of there's always been people in history, a small percent, that think they're the other sex. And the chemicals in the water bend the embryo's genetics and mind where you're not really a female when you think you are, but it literally bends development. The bones get smaller, penises get smaller, areas of the brain affect and bend towards the physiology of a female brain. Female brains are way different than a male brain. They, on average, have three times the connections between left and right hemisphere. Generally, the cerebral cortex per capita, not just the women have smaller heads, smaller brains. Yeah, but Chihuahua, the tiny brain, just the cells are smaller. It's just as smart as a collie, or, you know, just as smart as a bull mastiff, or smarter. But generally, CC size of a mammal is associated with overall intelligence, like a dolphin has a brain way bigger than ours. But it's not building spaceships. But a lot of that's because dolphins are always awake. One side sleeps, one side of the brain sleeps while the other side's awake. And then sometimes during super active stuff, both sides of the brain wake up. A little factoid for you, but the point is, I don't know why I went off into brain sizes. The point is that it literally is how these people are born. But instead of saying, oh, you got toxified by atrazine in the water, you got bent, you may not have a penis and a vagina, but you're almost there on the hermaphrodite scale. That's why the penis starts getting smaller and smaller. Then it actually, too much atrazine, it just becomes a clitoris, and then you may even grow another uterus along with testicles that don't drop. I mean, this is what happens with atrazine in mammals, not just frogs, at the allowable levels. That's why these birth defects are way up. And so do I hate a person that's born hermaphroditic? What are they supposed to do? And I'm talking about hermaphroditic in brain structure. Well, you should bend them back, or the parents should have that right. Oh my God, this kid, you know, it's like when somebody is a midget. A midget's not a dwarf. Midgets are proportionate. And now they give them growth hormone and then they end up growing to regular size. Well, it's the same thing. Just because you got a bunch of atrazine and other chemicals and bisphenol A and BPAs, and then you've been bent towards not being as masculine as you would, you can do the studies, you can get assessed, we can make it a whole, you know, industry. It's good to, you know, make money on things that are good, have special clinics, and then you put the kids on hormones to not bend them the way they were bent and break them. You bend them back. You know, the average male today has 40% of the testosterone that they had in 1955. Did you know that? Look it up. 45%. Doesn't matter if you're 18 or 70. Whatever your level is supposed to be at 70, it's 45% of that. Whatever it's supposed to be at 14, 15, it's 40, 45% of that. It's fact. That's why they're all testosterone clinics. You're not giving them bodybuilder level stuff. You're just giving them what they're supposed to have. What do you think's doing all that? The Easter Bunny? You think the fairy godmother flew over and dropped some pixie dust on people? And that's why they got so pissed when I did all those big analyses and scientists on explaining the chemicals in the water, how we need to bend kids back 20 years ago, 10 years ago, and they would just take one clip about gay frogs out of context and say, oh, he's crazy. So, yeah, Blair White was born, felt like a girl, looked like a girl, was not masculine, wanted to play with dolls, all the rest of it. That person's not out hunting kids. That person's not a mean person. I don't hate that person because of who they believe they are. That's their own personal decision. What I don't want is the media force-feeding it, doing it in schools, brainwashing, and mainly targeting autistic kids that are screwed up who need to be reached out to through people that care to have the option to bend you back. Because if you're supposed to be male, but it bends you towards female, and you're really a mutant, we can fix you and bend you back. That's normal. Bend things back the way they're supposed to be. Don't break it off and make you something that doesn't even exist, because you'll never be a woman. And these women that think they're males. And you look at these women, a lot of times their body type looks more masculine. They're into those things. There's always been tomboys, but the chemicals then will actually bend women the other direction. This is all by design, folks. And if a woman feels like she, you know, is really a man, that's her issue. But see, I'm already covering it. I can't do it. I can never. I got pretty far, though, through the news. I got to the last one that was coming up with Sneeko, and that was just one area of his deception. Like, I got you. And then I'm just sitting there like, it's like amateur world. It's like little kid level stuff. I wanted to reach out. In fact, I should have Blair White back on, or other conservative trans people, or just common sense ones, because I want that community to know that I don't hate you as a person, as long as you're not targeting children, and as long as you're not attached to the Democratic Party and communism and open borders, the New World Order. That is a political football issue the left created and tried to make the biggest issue in this country by their outrageous behavior. We need to see through it. We need to understand it and neutralize it. Unbelievable. By the way, I said 20 years ago we should start bending kids back when I read all the scientific literature. Now, finally, there's clinics, and that's being done, and it started. I'm a visionary, folks. Not bragging. That's why the system doesn't like me. Because I'm able to analyze a bunch of systems and then figure out, okay, they take the bad they've done to us and exacerbate it and try to make it worse and get control and screw us up worse. What would we do to mitigate this with the incredible technology we have? So you're a masculine man, your wife's healthy, athletic, and you have a boy and he's not as big as you and as strong, and the way these hormones work and the food and water and chemicals, notice girls are bigger now. Girls are going into puberty way earlier, and then the boys aren't. So how these things work is it accelerates the girls and messes them up, by the way, and takes life expectancy off of them. So it's like they're like a radiated tomato. They just get bigger. And then the boys are, you know, shrunken and don't feel masculine. And then the system's like, yeah, you're really a girl, or you're really this, or you're really that. That's how this works, folks. We need to explain to them what happened to them, at least give them the option to get out of it. If they love it and like it, then that's them. That's your personal life. Do it. It reminds me of Omega Man at the end. He's got the cure to the zombies. And they said, dude, we like being undead zombies. You're dead. Ah! And that's pretty much the point we've gotten to. But at least know where it came from. Introducing Aquapure, the ultimate water filter showerhead. Ladies and gentlemen, on your screen are the major third-party scientific tests. This is the very best, top-of-the-line water filtration system for your shower head. It just takes seconds to be screwed on to any system, no plumbers. You owe it to yourself, your husband, your wife, your children to cut out the gender-bending chemicals that are in all the major tap water supplies. Most well water is contaminated as well. You can't just filter the water you drink. One of the biggest places you can pull the studies up that we absorb poisons is through our skin and through our lungs. The amount of chlorine in major water supplies is insane. You know, if you put fish in tap water, even if you aerate it, even if you feed them, they die within hours.
That's because it's toxic. That's because it's poison. Chlorine alone kills bacteria. Great, you don't get dysentery, but it destroys your gut flora, and it's directly linked to cancer. Then you've got the fluoride, you've got the lead, you've got the arsenic. This system reduces it all 95 to 95%. Now, we've got gravity-fed filters that cut it all out, but those are drip, drip, drip. This system is the very best on the market and reduces it from 95 to 99%, depending on the hundreds of chemicals that are out there in the studies that have been done. And that is the top of the line, because it's forcing it through fast, it's got really good pressure, and you are reducing it down 95 to 99%. That is the best you are going to get if you live in one of these cities with the deadly tap water. And so many areas like Los Angeles are toilet to tap. They recycle the birth control and the Adderall and all the thousands of pharmaceuticals and the feces and the tampons and the microplastics all go back in, go through all these complex systems. They fill with all this chlorine, and then they ship it back out down your water pipes. And not to mention what's in the pipes and all the buildup. And then when sewage runs off, it gets into the water supply. You are insane if you're drinking tap water. And you can look up the studies for yourself. Almost all well water and aquifers in the United States are heavily contaminated with thousands of different chemicals like lead and mercury and arsenic and fluoride and other forever chemicals. So again, I can tell you forever, in my home, we have these systems, and it does hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of showers before it's got to be replaced. The head's not replaced. We have the replacement filters for $30. For this quality, nobody can beat it, and it funds our operation against the globalists. This is very, very competitive at the normal retail. Listen to this. Normal retail is $139, but for everybody, it's $97.99, that's 30% off. And for VIP, $69.99. That is a steal at that deal. So anybody buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, whether it's t-shirts, high quality supplements, water filters, you name it, should be a VIP. It's $30 a month. Instantly get $40 to spend, special deals, special offers, and special sales on top of sales on everything. Cancel any time, so it's not even a commitment. You just get the better deals. We get to remind you of those, and we've got a lot of really satisfied customers. Over 90-plus percent reorder rate on our supplements, and it's starting to happen with our water filters as well, because we've got the best deals, and it funds our information warfare operation. This is the best. You owe it to yourself. Secure yours now while supplies last at thealexjonesstore.com, and I want to thank you for supporting the transmission while at the same time making yourself healthier, wealthier, and wise. God bless you all. Now take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show.
32 years.
15 years in the academy. Like the cadets they ever seen. A man so hard, his brains bleed eyes. When he speaks, he'll never say it twice. They call him judge, his master is dread. So break the law and you wind up dead. Truth and justice, what he's fighting for. Don't trust the man, he is a liar.
We're on the verge of nuclear war, boys and girls, with Russia and Pakistan, North Korea and China, and Iran. brand developments quickly. They're incredibly important, but we've been predicting it all. It's just the next signpost, the next road marker to thermonuclear Armageddon or things even possibly worse. There's even worse weapons than that. And then I'm going to look at Islam and tie it into Sneeko yesterday. And everything he said was a deception. Everything he said was a confidence game. Everything he said, he knew full well he'd laugh and giggle and slip up here and there and say, of course, we're going to suppress and dominate women. I mean, actually, we're not. Just totally sick. And, oh, yes, he'd come on my show, but I had to come on his show first. He agreed to come on today at noon and then later said, oh, sorry, I'm going to a soccer game. But he's my big buddy. So we'll see if Sneaky Sneeko wants to come on the show and face the music. But let's go ahead and play it. This is a new video today. This is all over the country. Hundreds of cities do this now. Right here in Texas, they do it. This is in Brooklyn, New York, blaring it at massive decibels at 6:30 in the morning. I wonder if I pulled up and blared the Four Horsemen Metallica this loud, if I'd get a sound ordinance ticket. And if I didn't turn off the giant speaker boomboxes, the cops would say, get up against the wall, and I'd be in handcuffs. Because I'm just, the left got rid of church bells. And you know, church bells would only go off from like 7 a.m. until about 10 at night, historically in Europe and here. I remember a little kid growing up, and I'd be, at recess or whatever, and we'd hear down the road the gonging of the church bells. It was so pretty. And by the time I was 10 years old or so in Dallas, I never heard them again. And it was about 40-something years ago that the left everywhere got the church bells silenced. Beautiful church bells. Instead of... So, doing their call to prayer in the middle of the roads, blocking everything. It's just like the Extinction Rebellion, the left doing it. It's all about pissing on us. So here's the latest. As the sun comes up, the annoying roosters of Islam. Here it is. And it's blaring. And in the post, you can hear that. That's like four blocks away from it. Somebody needs to pull up with a truck with a giant speakers and blare Limp Bizkit, take a look around him or something. I mean, man, I got to tell you. Or you just rent the business across the street and just blare the sound of dying rabbits or something at them. And then when they complain about it, you go, well, hey, you're doing it. So there you go. You know what? I'm going to get into Iran and nuclear war later. Let's go ahead and get into and the nuclear reactor getting blown up in Iran and Russia threatening a nuke. NATO countries, again, we already kind of know about those. It's just the latest. Things are escalating, iteration of that. But we'll get to that next. Let's go ahead and since I'm already started and do this. So I'm on with Sneeko, and I say, listen, under Islam, you convert or you pay the tax, or you get your head cut off. And he's like, nope, doesn't say that, doesn't do that, doesn't happen. And I said, well, under Islam, you know, they marry 7-year-olds, 9-year-olds. He goes, yeah, that's true. What's wrong with that? And I then explained this is all in the Quran and Hadith. And he goes, oh, there aren't Hadith in the Quran. And I didn't say that. So it just goes on and on. And there are some Hadith quoted in there, but written at the time, some aren't. But I've read a bunch of it. I know it. I've had scholars on. I watch these guys. Sometimes I watch whole sermons they give. Shiites, Sunnis, I know the different groups. I mean, I think it's fair to say I know a lot more about Islam than Sneaky Sneeko. So I can play you literally hundreds of these. You've already seen them yourself. Here's just a few clips. Well, first we'll play one of the exchanges with Sneeko, and then I'll play a few clips of Imam saying word for word what I'm saying. And then I'm going to show you the Quran, and then I'm going to show you recent examples in Syria and Iraq and other places where they tell the Alawites, the Christians, the Jews that are left, you convert now or you're dead. And then they go kill them. And you just saw this in the last 2 years since the head of Al-Qaeda was put in charge by Turkey and Israel working together, and now at each other's throats. And they all get on their motorcycles on one town, and then a couple thousand go to the little Christian village and burn it down and kill everybody. And you saw when they did the Arab Spring that Obama supported, how they blew up several hundred churches and killed tens of thousands of Coptic Christians who aren't allowed to have any regular jobs there except trash sanitation and other things that are seen as unclean. Yeah, you don't just pay a tax. You live as in a subcast. So here is a Sneeko, and then we'll go to a couple of imams in English, and we have them in subtitles as well. And then I'll get into the Quran itself that Sneeko hopes you don't go look up for yourself. He just kept saying, boomer slop, that's not in the Quran. Oh, yeah. And I'd say, well, Islam invaded for 700 years into Europe and enslaved tens of millions, you know, and killed people and took millions of women out of Spain alone, 2 million. And he's like, nope, not true. Nope. It's all historical facts, but he's targeting young kids that think it's radical and cool to wear a jib on their head and, you know, run around saying Durga Durga Muhammad Jihad. So let's go ahead and play Sneeko.
Oh, you said me. You said you want to deport him now. You scared of me individually?
I am scared of being a cuck and laying down to people that declare their superiority and their supremacy over me. And you are following Orthodox Islam and are openly announcing we will dominate you, we will control you. You follow the Quran, you believe?
Well, let's talk about the clip I said.
Let's be specific about what I said. Or my head chopped off? Which way is it? Is it in the Quran? I pay the tax, I convert to Islam, or my head's chopped off? Which one is it?
It doesn't say that. You said you read the Quran twice. It doesn't say that
I can show you 1,000 imams reading the hadiths in the Quran. No, there's three things.
Hadiths are not in the Quran. You clearly haven't read it if you think hadiths are in the Quran. So because you don't know about Islam, let's talk about
Muslim scholars. Saying Islam doesn't say you convert or you pay the tax or your head gets cut off.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So let's talk about what I said because you don't know about Islam.
Hey, everybody, take clips of this and then show 50 imams saying it and then show the hadiths and then show the Quran.
Again, jizya, we start saying like this, like that. There's no need. And just to clarify as well, yes, jizya is taken from the non-Muslims. We take the jizya from the non-Muslims, the combatants, the enemies of Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in exchange. And when we say like tax, it's not like a council tax or road tax that you're paying. You understand? And I'll get to that point as well, is we're taking in exchange for your blood, for your life. Do you understand? We're taking in exchange for your blood, for your life. This is mentioned by the commentators of the Quran as well, the Mufassirin, they've explained, the Fuqaha have gone into detail. And why are we taking this is because you are a rebellion. You are rebellious against Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because we have mercy, Islam has mercy, we're saying you pay the jizya. And again, we don't want to get into the discussion of how much and, you know, how much is stipulated and the Fuqaha have explained this. But when you give the jizya to the imam, the commander of the mujahideen or whoever's in charge at the time, then what we are guaranteeing you is a protection for yourself, for your property, for your family, for your children. And also we will fight off or fend off the enemy that attacks you. Let me give you an example. In 2024, last year, just in the year 2024, Islamophobia, the rise of attacks against the Muslims in just that 1 year, rose to approximately 73%. You understand? You pay road tax, you pay council tax, you pay this tax, bin tax, all these taxes, and they still
call. I don't want to hear more of this guy wearing a nightgown who's on welfare and does nothing. Probably married to 10 people and, you know, total scum. Looks like a total pervert, doesn't he? And he was like, what is, Sneeko kept saying, what is Sharia law? And I said, it is the law of Islam that is carried out by the imams that you pay the tax to. And the Mujahideen. He's like, nope, that's not what it is. I'm literally telling him chapter and verse. Let's go to the next imam. Here it is.
In the Quran, chapter number 9, verse number 29, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the Muslims to kill the Christians, Jews, and if they do not surrender, then they have to pay jizya. Jizya is basically protection money.
I'm going to read the subtitles here. When you face a polytheist, believes in multiple gods, enemy, you should give him three options.
In the Quran, chapter number 9.
Now, let's go back. When you face a polytheist enemy, you should give him three options.
Islam.
They must convert to Islam or pay the jizya poll tax, or else you should seek the help of Allah and fight them. You should fight them even if they do not fight you. That means kill them. Seek the help of Allah and fight them. Let the scholars hear this. You should seek the help of Allah and fight them. Only when they fight you. No, when they refuse to convert to Islam. You take the women for slavery. And refuse to pay the jizya. In such a case, it is meaningless to let them keep enjoying their life in this world. What's that mean? Kill them. Eating from the substance bestowed by Allah, yet disobeying Him. No! Against their will, we shall subjugate them to the rule of Allah. Without forcing them to convert to Islam. Okay, and that's enough of that. I can play literally hundreds more. Here's Reuters, convert, pay tax, or die, Islamic State warns Christians. And they murdered him, and now the new Al-Qaeda leader's done that. Okay, there you go. Here's Forbes, Islamic State warns Christians, convert, pay tax, or leave or die. Okay? That's why all the 57 countries, they're all Muslim, 99%. Convert, pay tax, or die, Islamic State warns Christians in Iraq. Newsweek. Iraqi Christians flee after the issue of Mosul ultimatum. Here's the Quran 9:5, often known as the sword verse, reads the Quran. And when the sacred months have passed, then kill the polytheists whenever you find them and capture them and besiege them and sit and wait for them at every place of ambush. But if they should repent, establish prayer, and give zakah, let them go on their way. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. We ask Grok about it. You can also ask ChatGPT. If you want, you just go to the bookstore. You don't have to buy it. Just go open it to Quran 9:25. 9:29. Quran 2:256 and others. And it all says it right here. Fight them, kill them. They have three choices, convert, pay the jizya, or die. Slay the unbelievers whenever you find them, Quran 2191. Quran 3:28, Muslims must not take the infidels as friends. Quran 3:85, any religion other than Islam is not acceptable. Quran 5:33, maim and crucify the infidels if they criticize Islam. Quran 8:12, terrorize and behead those who believe in scriptures other than the Quran. Oh, they always say, oh, we're Christians, we believe in you, oh, we love Jesus. Quran 8:60, Muslims must master all weapons to terrorize infidels. Quran 8:65, believers are stupid. Unbelievers are stupid. Muslims are urged to fight them. Quran 9:5, when the opportunity arises, kill the infidels whenever you find them. Want to keep going? Quran 9:30, the Jews and Christians are perverts, fight them. Quran 9:123, make war on infidels, living in your neighborhood. Quran 2:2.19, punish the unbelievers with garments of fire, hooked iron rods, boiling water, melt their skins and bellies. You mean to read some more here for you a little bit? Oh, well, Sneeko said none of that's true. Old Sneeko. Let's play this video. An Afghan man, this is new, buys a 10-year-old girl as his third wife after murdering his two previous underage wives for dishonoring his Muslim family by disobeying and failing to please their owner, sexually, of course. As his third wife, the girl endured years of torture, rape, and unimaginable abuse until she finally managed to escape. The chilling story is featured in a documentary, Worth 50 Sheep, which recounts the brave tale of Sabria and her struggle for survival in Afghanistan before the Taliban came to power. I could show you hundreds of these. You know, they show you. It's and of course, we have here also one of the new big leaders of the opposition to the globalist in the UK, Joe Rogan, with British politician Rupert Lowe. I want to get on the show, by the way, explaining facts out of Pakistan and other places. But it's all over. And I see these articles every day. Look at this woman. This is Jamie Carney, an American living in Europe who participates in pro-Palestinian protests. She has just become another victim of brutal murder committed by a third world Muslim invader. She posted romantic text messages between herself and her now killer. In the post, she wrote, "The most kind, emotionally intelligent, and self-aware person I've ever known," referring to him as Lub in Arabic while he was living in taxpayer-funded housing in Ireland. He then killed her. Let's go ahead and just show part of the documentary with his third 10-year-old wife. He killed the other two. Let's play that. I was only 10 years old when I was a 50-year-old man. He made me pregnant four times and abused me all the time. He was killed, his other two wives. I was afraid he would kill me, too. You have to be very careful and keep your address secret. If you want to avoid any harm to come, now the state comes and gets you. If you want to avoid it, you must promise not to ever leave her alone. And it just goes on and on. Okay, let's go ahead and play Rupert Lowe on Joe Rogan Clip 35.
A woman, if she accuses in Pakistan a man of rape, she has to have four male witnesses who actually have to witness and swear that they've seen her being penetrated by the rapist. And you've actually got women in prison because if she can't prove that she's been raped under those rules, then she can be sent to prison. And there are many women languishing in Pakistani prisons for that very reason. And this is the sort of extraordinary cultural oil and water which just doesn't mix, Joe.
Well, it's also the mental gymnastics that you have to accept that as a part of Britain and because you're progressive is really crazy. It just shows how these ideologies, these cult-like ideologies can completely defy logic, completely defy common sense and just you have a set of rules that you're supposed to adhere to. If you deviate from those rules, you're a racist. You don't want to be a racist, right? Then everyone's welcome.
As you say, it's honor killings. It's tribal.
Yeah.
It's your first loyalty is to your tribe and your family, not to your host country who's actually got their own laws. There are all sorts of hadith rulings which they can use to justify it. I mean, for instance, if they rape a white girl, that doesn't count in their view of life as adultery. So they are effectively taught that a girl who doesn't dress as they would dress is meat to be abused, and they have these extraordinary sort of cultural views
you see
that are completely incompatible, in my view, with a society like ours, where you know we are a matriarchal society which respects women. I think we have grown to respect women. Obviously, they've now got an omnipotent position within our society. Certainly, in the UK, I'm sure it's true here too, and quite right. They play a part in our society. They're a very, very important part of everything. But again, under the Islamic code, I think that the Muslims are frightened of female sexuality. It's all there. And as you know, you get FGM, female genital mutilation. So these cultures, I think, Joe, and to your point, are just incompatible unless you have a very strong government which basically protects its
All right, let's stop there. We're live right now. When we post all this on X as clips from the show later and Rumble and the Alex Jones Show Live.com, we'll put the full thing out. It's powerful. We're going to come back and get Osmond Gold's take on the Sneeko debate and a little bit more, and then I'm going to move out of this. I mean, I can go for hours showing Quran quotes, and then you've got all the hadiths that they use as well. And he would just play games like, oh, you just had hadiths for the Quran. No, I didn't say that. I said hadiths and the Quran. It's just, it was all little games trying to deceive the kafir, the infidel. And that's what the Quran teaches. You just go read it for yourself. It's unbelievable. How to deceive us, how to take our women, how we're all slaves, how they can put our women in sex slavery because they're not Islamic. Muslims are brazenly ripping down American flags across New York City right now. We'll get to more of that next hour. But before we do that, I'm fighting the globalist. I'm fighting the Israel First trying to take over. I'm fighting the Islamicist. I'm fighting big tech, the crazy mad scientist of the Great Reset. We are battling for humanity in the West and classical liberalism. That's Thomas Jefferson. He wouldn't recognize a liberal today. He'd call them tyrants. Crazy people who love Islam, by the way, because it's anti-Western. We need your support. If you don't back this operation with word-of-mouth prayer and buying the products, you're crazy. Because we're fighting all together here, and we're having a big effect, and these products are incredibly good. So the new big sale that ends tomorrow, it only happens once a month now, there's a one-week period where there's, with the sweepstakes, every order you get, you put in to win the sweepstakes for a super off-road vehicle, super American sports car, they're all American. These are all souped up, badass, brand new, $20,000 cash. But that last week, you get put in to win potentially both, so it doubles your chances. Nobody's won both yet. And you get put in more, 250 entries. Usually it's just five entries for every purchase. In this 1 week, 250 entries to win. And it's usually people that do it at this key time that win. So now is the time to buy stuff at thealexjonesstore.com. And what is there? We've got the collectible fundraising pure silver coin minted here in America that's got the Jerusalem cross in 1776. United States of America, 250 years old. On one side, on the other, the American Eagle and the American flag, America 250. It's a fundraiser for operation. It's a memento. It's historic. It's key to get that. Makes a great gift as well. And we have the new shower filters, highest rated, cutting out all the garbage, in stock right now, discounted from $130 to $99 for the general folks, everybody that's a VIP. $69. Incredible. You won't buy that anywhere near this. It's a great deal at $100. And you absorb stuff through your lungs and skin. It's so important to not just drink filtered water, but to also get these filters. They're all at thealexjonesstore.com. Everybody should be a VIP. And you are literally funding your own defense against tyranny. And some great new t-shirts as well, like that one we'll be telling you about.
Example on InfoWars, one of his most famous statements was saying that tap water is turning the frogs gay and it'll turn you gay too. First off, gay people are awesome. I don't think that's a problem at all. And secondly, if you notice at the end of that video, he advertises water filters.
Now, you remember for decades I exposed how bad the water supply was, and they'd have David Hogg make fun of me and say it was a scam, and so what if the frogs are gay from the chemicals or trans or become hermaphroditic? Well, that's because their populations collapse and they go extinct, dummy.
He advertises water filters. Interesting.
It's the same thing with humans. Our fertility is being crushed. Our cancer rates are off the charts. And it's because of all the garbage in the food, all the garbage in the water, everything that's happening in our environment. And water is what 70% or more of our bodies are made of. It is so important to do this. It is a no-brainer. Go look at our third-party studies. Go look at our third-party testing. And then go out and try to find a comparable system for less money. Listen to this. Normal retail is $139. But for everybody, it's $97.99. That's 30% off. And for VIP, $69.99. That is a steal at that deal. So take your destiny in your hands. Don't let the globalists bomb you with these hundreds and hundreds, in some areas, thousands of chemicals. Don't let them bomb your children with it. Take action. Fund our information warfare operation against the globalists. Get healthier. Win-win. That is what it's all about. But you've got to take action. You've got to take control of your life. I am so proud of this bad boy. The AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter Showerhead System. That's the housing. Just screws on in seconds. No plumbers. Beautiful box. Absolute high quality. And a happy little straight frog that you look up at every morning, reminding you that you're not poisoning yourself, your wife, your husband, your children. Secure yours now while supplies last at thealexjonesstore.com.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Some of the responses to the Sneeko situation. We're going to shift gears into a bunch of news on the border, deportation, what's happening there with Trump. Got a special guest joining us, Brandon Morello. But right now, let's go ahead and go to a clip of Nick Fuentes talking about the Great Awakening to Islam.
Big day of content. I did the Alex Jones show today, and we talked a lot about the latest drama. We talked about the left-wing Muslim thing, all that stuff. But I think the real highlight was when Alex Jones debated Sneeko. This is when you remember he's the best to ever do it. This is when you remember Alex Jones as the greatest of all time. Did you see the Alex Jones Total Crusade 2.0 against Sneeko? Muslims just love getting destroyed. They have an appetite for it. I saw Muhammad Hijab. That's a real name, by the way, not a joke. That's his name, right? Muhammad Hijab, who's one of Sneeko's brown clown friends, he goes on Twitter talking about the World Cup game. He goes, "I'd rather lose honorably than win dishonorably." And I want to say, well, you lose wars, you lose soccer games, you lose debates. That's all you do is lose. Honorably, dishonorably. You're in luck. Wow, it's like your lucky day because you're going to get a lot of losing. You must love Israel because that's all they do is win, destroy you. And they go, "I'd rather lose honorably than win." Okay, here you go. Here's one L after another. Here's one L in the World Cup. Here's one L in the war. Here's another L at the hands of Alex Jones. And it was delicious. Alex Jones was singing Total Destruction of Islam and Brown Clowns. And I love this energy. We basically need the Islamophobia of Alex Jones and the anti-Semitism of the Groypers.
All right, here's Asmund Gold responding to some of what happened yesterday. Here it is.
We're talking like about
this. Our Somalis, we love our Muslims too. Oh, they so good. Oh, they so sweet. I'm gonna stab your daughter at the mall. Woo! Gonna stab your son, your wife. And then the police chief is gonna say, "We love our Somalis, we love our Muslims too. Oh, they so good. Oh, they so sweet."
You don't hate me. Our country is dominated by Jewish
oppression. I'm a Christian American nationalist, and white people are demonized by the left, by the Red Green Alliance, by Israel and everybody, and I'm sick of it. White people are 7% of the world population. Anglo-Saxons are like 2%.
There's no point in just preaching.
I am sick of being run over.
Okay.
And everybody that's declared war on us, I'm saying, okay then.
You think I declared war on you?
And you want to declare war?
You think I declared war?
Israel? I don't care if you're a Muslim. I don't care if you're a child.
You want a crusade? Now yeah.
Don't worry. You're gonna get one, pal.
You're gonna, okay, then well done. You just played it to the hands of the Jewish supremacists controlling our country.
It ain't gonna
well
be,
done.
No, no.
That's what Elon almost wants you to do.
It's gonna be want your shit out of here.
Dominant pedophile demographic in Europe. I told you it was white. It's not,
500,000 girls groomed by the Islamics.
250,000 was the estimated number. You just doubled it and that's completely conflated.
500,000 now they had it in parliament. And here's the other. Other thing.
500,000 estimated. You need to look at the report.
We don't care if Starmer protected them. We know the British leadership are a bunch of pedophiles. I exposed that 30 years ago.
He did. Alex Jones was talking about this. It's over. Is it really? He was talking about this.
Fellow Americans, I'm back. The Nixon 28 collection is now available, and I must say, it looks tremendous. Go to the AliceJonesStore.com and pick yours up today. You'll be glad you did.
Ultimate Power Drink Mix. The fantasy is real, and it's delicious. Visit the AlexJonesStore.com today.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen. Right here on the Alex Jones Show.
Well, the U.S. hit over 170 targets overnight in Iran. The Bushehr nuclear power plant, large parts of it got blown up. So we've got all of that unfolding. And you saw Trump 2 days ago at NATO say, yeah, the ceasefire is over. They're never going to make a deal. They're scum. They're liars. They never said they made a deal. They had an outline that never got agreed to. And I know the U.S. isn't going to agree to what Iran wants. They want all of our military bases gone. They wanted $500 billion. They got down to $300 billion. They want control of the Strait of Hormuz, be able to charge a fee. And so the neocons go, well, let's just keep bombing them. Well, they'll just keep the Strait of Hormuz closed, and that'll continue to destroy the economy. And the numbers are in. Inflation, record growth. Since the 70s, we haven't had this bad since the late 70s. You have housing prices at all-time highs as interest rates go up and as record low home sales. So prices are higher, but sales are real low. What's that called? Stagflation. I mean, this is bad. This is Trump's recovery getting derailed. So we'll continue to track that as it unfolds. But I wanted to get Brianna Morello on, great reporter, Pentagon correspondent. She's also hosted some of our great shows here, like American Journal, to just give us her take on the State of the Union, what's happening in the Trump administration, the midterms coming up. And then she really has a lot of sources in DHS. What is happening with deportations? You know, we've been told by the outgoing head of the Border Patrol on this show months ago, he also told Congress this, that they've killed internal enforcement, basically, and they've been putting in a lot of Democrat former operatives back in, and we're even seeing more cross-border stuff. It's gone down from 96 reduction to about 90%. So things have really softened, but now they say they've scaled it back up to 10,000 a week. Is that even true? And we have the new head of DHS in some controversy about that, Mark Wayne Mullen. So we've got all of that information and some other big stories that she's working on as well. Some of these are exclusive. So, Brianna Morello, great to have you with us. Brianna Morello on X. Wow, just crazy times. But first, I value your overall 35,000-foot view and the sense of things that you're getting at the Pentagon, the sense of things you're getting at the White House, just the sense of what's happening in Trump land.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me, Alex. I think a lot of people are kind of scratching their heads these days and wondering what's going on themselves in the administration. It seems to be a bit chaotic. One day we're going to war with Iran. The next day we're hearing that there's a peace deal being worked through. And so I think a lot of people really don't know where we're going with all of this. And obviously many of the president's closest allies are a little upset by it. And we've seen them openly, obviously, come out and talk about it, but privately there are other individuals who are also talking about it. I mean, the war in Iran, obviously not good for the presidency at all. And we were doing so well previously, and it's all gone pretty much to hell since then. And it's really upsetting to see. So again, it's a bit of a back and forth, and it's just so exhausting to continue to follow whether we're bombing, we're striking Iran or not. So I think that in itself is a big issue, but it also is starting to feel like a little bit of a deflection. And when I'm talking about deflection, I'm talking about mass deportations. That was the commitment that was drawn out by the Trump administration. And they told us, listen, we are going to deport all of the illegals that were brought in by the Biden regime. And so far, we don't have any of that. And it's quite frustrating to sit back and watch. And members of this administration are fired up. I'm getting phone calls left and right, nonstop. The other day, for hours, my phones were blowing up with people so upset about what's going on right now. We were promised mass deportation. It doesn't look to be happening at all. The numbers that are being pushed out there don't seem to be legitimate at all either. DHS pumped out that number, 10,000 ICE arrests in 5 days. Now, that sounds great, but the reality of it is that number was pumped out when people started openly criticizing DHS, like myself and like other people, Nick Sorter obviously going out there as well and publicly going after Mark Wayne Mullen about all of this. My sources on the ground say things really shifted once Mark Wayne Mullen took over at DHS. Now, they don't know why, but Mark Wayne Mullen is not making any friends over at DHS. It's completely changed up the strategy behind mass deportation.
And this is exactly what the former head of the Border Patrol warned of on this show a couple months ago, and he says that's coming from Trump, that Trump has made this decision. So I see a lot of the Republicans and a lot of the America Firsters rightfully getting pissed, but they tend to be blaming the secretary, and I'm not giving him cover there, but at the end of the day, it's like blaming J.D. Vance that he can't get a peace deal with Iran when J.D. Vance was against the war. He's volunteered to go try to fix it, and then Rubio, who was for it, hides in the shadows, and they have the neocons blaming Vance. It's crazy.
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, the reality of it is I think President Trump is being handed bad information by people who obviously have private interest in not carrying through with the mass deportations or not allowing the government to get involved in detaining these illegal aliens. And what I'm referring to there is a New York Times article, which is factually true. The New York Times reported just a few days ago that 7 of the 11 recently purchased detention facilities have now there's an effort to get rid of them. So that's 7 of the 11. It costs us about $700 million taxpayer just that to acquire those facilities. And this was a big one because the administration people, key players in the administration were looking to pull away, the private prisons, the ones who are occupying all the ICE detention facilities and now make the government be the ones to hold these ICE detainees. And the purpose of that was because these private prison groups are charging a massive amount of money, a significant amount that's like 5 times higher than what you normally would have to pay to hold someone. And so the idea was to save the taxpayers a lot of cash, a lot of money by pulling this out of the private sector and allowing the government to now take over. So the big, beautiful bill allocated billions of dollars towards this. And the New York Times coming out now saying that 7 of the 11 warehouses that were just recently purchased in the last year, they're now looking to get rid of them. And that happened under Mark Wayne Mullen. So I asked a lot of significant questions. I asked the White House about that for their perspective. The White House twice did not respond to me. I then reached out to DHS on a total of 3 times about that story. And they're not denying the report. In fact, they're just trying to deflect. They go over the numbers of how many individuals they claim have been deported from the United States. But those numbers don't track. I can't find any legitimacy behind those numbers. And it's not just me who's scratching my head wondering where the heck are you getting these numbers from? It's also the watchdog groups. The Oversight Project just filed a lawsuit yesterday against DHS. Now, they've made several attempts, I believe a total of 7 attempts, to acquire some information in regards to those deportation figures they keep floating out there. Unfortunately, DHS has not responded to those FOIA requests, and it's been months now. Unfortunately, they're just trying to figure out where are you getting these numbers from? Because my sources inside of ICE, inside of DHS, are telling me this is not true, what they're floating out there. The number you're seeing on your screen right now, I keep getting this quote continuously thrown my way. I keep asking, how many arrests? Let's just go with the ICE arrests specifically. How many ICE arrests have been made under Mark Wayne Mullen? And this is what DHS sends me back. It's a word salad. And in that word salad, all it says is it conflates the numbers under Kristi Noem and the numbers under him, and then they're pushing those numbers out there. But it doesn't highlight my specific question that I've asked repeatedly. What are the number of arrests that have taken place, the ICE arrests specifically, just ICE, I'm not talking about the border apprehensions, just ICE, since Mark Wayne Mullen has taken over? He's been in office now as secretary for well over 100 days. You should be able to throw a figure at us, especially because he was the one who wanted to start putting out daily numbers. And all of a sudden now we don't have anything. I was told repeatedly by the press secretary of DHS that they would get back to me with those figures, and they have not done so. So this seems to be the big issue here. Now, obviously, the White House doesn't want the base to know that we're no longer doing the mass deportations. And so they continue to put this figure out there all the time about the which we can't prove, which is a big number. It's an inflated number. DHS sources telling me that it doesn't have, it's not just ICE arrests that they're giving me. It's not just deportation numbers they're giving us, that they are also doing what the Obama regime did. They're conflating the numbers of border apprehensions with the arrest numbers as well from ICE. And they're giving you that bulk number because it looks impressive, but it's not authentic.
All right, stop right there, because this is such important work. You've been at the tip of the spear on this, and obviously you've been a Trump supporter in the past, so have I, but we have to call balls and strikes. It came out whenever they relieved Greg Bovino, however it was, 6 months ago or whenever it was, and then, you know, he's a team player, he likes Trump, so he didn't say anything for a while, and then he started going public a few months ago, and everything he said has now come out. They're bringing former Biden and Obama people in at the key positions, and that they now are shutting down all these big giant warehouse facilities that cost tens of millions of dollars. They're now closing those. They basically ended internal enforcement. And then you've got Mullen out of one side of his mouth says, don't worry, we're more discreet. We've got kid gloves now. We're being politically correct, Mark Wayne Mullen. And you've got Politico articles, you know, basically praising him saying that out of one side of his mouth. Then out of the other, boy, they're going to really get tough. This guy's great. And we know from Bovino, who was the head of the Border Patrol, that no, this came from Trump, like everything does. Trump wasn't in much control the first time. He slowed down some globalist stuff. They targeted him. This time, he basically gets done what he wants. He's the guy that killed the Epstein stuff. I said that first, later confirmed. That was my sources. He's the one that doesn't want the crooks thing investigated anymore. That's been confirmed. He's the one that backed Patel not to look at any foreign involvement in the killing of Charlie Kirk. We first broke that, later confirmed. People in the cabinet meeting told me. So this is Trump. And this is really what the real Trump looks like. Some of the stuff's still good. But look at Iran. Look at all the flip-flopping. Look at him believing what Netanyahu told him. And look what it's doing to the economy. I mean, this is not good. And so I'm not defending Mark Wayne Mullen. I'm just simply saying he's doing what he's told. And I want you to speak to this because we know J.D. Vance came out at the time, 130-something days ago, don't do it. Joe Kent told him, Tulsi Gabbard, they're on the outs. Trump's even been criticizing him some. You know, if he fails, ha, ha, ha. The media has made it like it's all up to Vance. So he's against it. He volunteers to go man up and do it. It should be the Secretary of State. Rubio hides. He's the big neocon with the Israel Firsters endorsing him. GOP mega donor Ken Griffin says he'll back Rubio over Vance. So this is all happening right now. And so the good guys are thrown to the wolves. The bad guys just sit in the shadows. Can you speak to that? Because there's no doubt. Clearly, they're giving fake numbers. That's what we're getting from internal sources. And they won't give you the real numbers. So that right there takes this to real scandal level. It's one thing if they decide to back off, that's bad enough. But if they feed us horse manure and feed us fake statistics, then that is a big red line for me, Brianna Morello.
Yeah, no, it's a big red line for me, too. And that's the reason why I'm fired up and continue to ask, continue to file these requests for information. And I'll sue if they don't give it to me either. I mean, this is something that we need to get the answers to. It's your taxpayer dollars, and it's being pissed away by bad contracts, bad agreements. And obviously, these private interest groups are trying to step in and pull the administration in a different direction. And so I think this is really important. But, you know, you just talked about Iran. There was a lot of key players who were very much against the war in Iran. And as you just detailed, people trying to tell the president, don't get involved, don't get involved. But there are also people very close at the Pentagon, very high up at the Pentagon, who are slowly picked away because they were against the war in Iran. I mean, Alex, if you remember that story about those three so-called leakers at the Pentagon who were quickly terminated and had their whole information tossed out in the public sphere. Those individuals, I know at least two of them, have been since cleared, since those accusations came out there, that they were not the leakers. And so one must wonder, they were very much against the war in Iran. They were obviously very close to the secretary, Pete Hegseth. And so who would push them out? And that's a serious question that needs answering. Those men had their reputations publicly ruined, and they were dragged through the mud. They never, never were the leakers. And I knew exactly that they were not the leakers. The moment the story came out, it was very clear, it was very obvious. They were very anti-Iran, going to war with Iran, and they were quickly picked off.
Well, let's be clear. We know who it was now because it came out. But it was just a little blip. It was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs authorized another general to leak that at the New York Times the week before, and they'd almost convinced Trump not to strike. So Israel struck first, and Netanyahu bragged 2 weeks ago to drag us in. So it was Raisin Kane, who is not pro-Iran, but said this is not really a good idea. And all they leaked was there's a low probability the mullahs will fall, they'll close the strait. Even the IDF told Trump that, but they couldn't meet with him. It was the Mossad, Ben-Gvir, their national security advisor, and Netanyahu told him that. Even Rubio, to cover his ass, said, no, Israel struck first. We had to. They were going to hit our bases. So Israel drug us into this. It was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs did that to try to get Trump to pay attention. And then I love how probably Hegseth used that to burn a couple people under him that he didn't like. I think that's what you're basically saying.
Well, I don't think Pete knew exactly. I think that he might have been given bad information by bad sources. I think there was people who were out for these three men to be tossed to the side because they were close friends. So I don't think Pete Hegseth had any bad intention going into that.
Sure, I meant the forces in there, the pro-Israel forces. Oh. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing here. I mean, there's still individuals at the Pentagon who were working very close with Lloyd Austin under the Biden regime years. There's one individual who's still working there too. And so it's frustrating to sit back and to watch all unravel, but they've been warned and they've known about this for quite some time that this was all taking place behind their backs. It's unfortunate though, that they're not really making a permanent move here. We're going to continue to allow this to drag on rather than admit, okay, hold on a second. We got some really bad information and now we need to correct all of this.
Well, that's right. So there's no apologies to Tulsi Gabbard. No apologies to Joe Kent. No apology to all the Trump supporters that said, don't do it, Trump. It's a set up, a trap. Trump now has admitted that he wants out and it wasn't a good idea in many ways, but then he's still mad at people that told him up front. So I know you have incredible, I'm not just saying this to butter you up, everybody. She is a workhorse. And I got to watch her for, 6 months at InfoWars. She just volunteered for that short period to do it. She didn't go because she wasn't happy. It was always supposed to be 2 months. It ended up being 6 months. Once we expand the network, we're obviously going to work with her, more teaching us and helping us go next level producer-wise. She used to do it at Fox, the most amazing producer I've ever seen. But I know some behind-the-scenes stuff, not just from you but others, the amount of sources, people you talk to every day, and what you do. So I think you, more than anybody, can give us the sense of what's the Pentagon thinking now 131 days in. What is the administration? I mean, I remember even mainstream news a couple months ago, Susie Wiles was leaking, we need to get out of this. It was hurting the economy and hurting the midterms. So there's a lot of people in the White House don't like this either. That's why J.D. Vance has come out and said, Israel, you're lucky we're here. Trump has said, quit trying to drag us into war, quit stopping ceasefires by hitting Lebanon. So we see Trump rhetorically making a lot of the right moves, but still continuing on down this path. What is the sense of this, and is there any off-ramp, or are we going to be still at war with Iran and the closed Strait of Hormuz in 2 years?
Yeah, I don't know. At the Pentagon, no one has spoken to me in regards to Iran as of right now, so I have not heard from anyone specifically on that front. The people who were very anti this are no longer at the Pentagon. So they're no longer in that space anymore. But I think, honestly, I think the president's getting dragged through this, and he knows the economy was one of their best features in the Trump administration. And they know this, and it's been completely wrecked. And we're so tired of sitting back and listening to this administration go out there and say that they have all these economic wins. Yes, there are some economic wins that I love talking about because I want to kind of share some positivity in the sea of just negativity these days. But the reality of it is we had everything going for us at the very beginning, and everything was working out real well until this all kicked off and happened. So I think this administration is aware of that. It's just a matter of how do we get ourselves out of this without the president's ego being hurt. I think he's going to continue to drag us through this until he sees a way out where he doesn't have to have his ego hurt. The problem is he keeps going back and forth saying, the Iranian regime wants to have these meetings with him. They're begging for peace talks. They're Islamic terrorists. They don't want to have peace, and they're okay with this being dragged on. So whether or not the president wants to now carry through with what he started. I mean, the reality of this is, do you walk away from this now after you've just started this war, or you just completely annihilate these people? And that's a question the president has to ask himself, because again, we were told that all of this was being taken place for the future of this country, so that we don't have to worry about this looming threat. Well, if you're not going to annihilate them, then what are we actually doing here?
And let's be clear. The only way to completely annihilate them is biological weapons that are race-specific, and because they've got such a wide genetic background, it would probably kill billions of people in the race-specific studies we've looked at. You can do nuclear and turn it all into one big glowing crater, as Trump threatened, and quote, end their civilization forever, never to return, which Mark Levin and others were pushing. Do like President did at the end of World War II. Be like Harry Truman. Hit them with the A-bombs. there's that. That would turn the whole world against us. Pakistan says they'll hit Israel with nukes if that happens. North Korea says they will. You got Russia backstopping. I mean, there's really not an option with conventional bombs. I've explained this. 15 years, 7.6 million bombs. Vietnamese didn't give up. I would use Iran as an example, even more dangerous than Vietnam not giving up. 90 million people encircled by mountains, an armed camp, 4,500 times bigger than Gaza. Israel, with our backing, couldn't take all of Gaza in 3 years. Now we've got talk of ground troops. Israel's pushing us going in. They won't go in. This is insane. This is crazy.
Yeah, no, it is. And the American people would never support boots on the ground. So I think the president knows that's completely off the table here. So I don't think that is something he will be pushed to. I mean, he knows it'd be over for him if he did just that. And with the midterms coming up, it's not looking good. It's not looking good at all. I think it's going to be an absolute slaughter, especially in the House for Republicans. The Senate's still kind of up in the air these days, but definitely in the House, it's not going to go well for them. I mean, I'm not advocating for any of this. I would have never advised them to go about doing this in the first place. But here we are. There needs to be a win for the president. I mean, at the end of the day, too, over a dozen Americans were killed in all of this. And so what's the justification behind this? Or to talk about, you know, making a safer world for Americans. Well, have we done just that? Most people would argue, no, that we're just kicking the can down the road so far. So again, I don't know what information that they saw or they were given that justified this move. But man, oh man, do they have to come up with a plan quick to get out of this, because this is not looking good. And as we inch closer and closer to midterms, Americans are not motivated to go out there and vote Republican, because there's no difference between the Republican or Democratic Party these days.
And the cat turd type folks, people that aren't on X don't know who that is. I use him as an example of white pillars. Anything anybody in the administration does that's a neocon or is pro-Israel first, he just gets behind. And he doesn't, you know, people like him don't care that Trump now sounds just like I did 130-something days ago, admitting this was not a good idea, but still refusing to off-ramp because, quite frankly, Iran won't make a deal because they've got the cards. This is just a disaster. But now, clearly, this is going to kill us in the midterms, and then we're going to be blamed. They've already said, oh, we don't have any listeners, Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson, total crap, but we're going to make them lose. No, Israel first is why, and the Epstein cover-up is the main reason that we're going to lose the House and Senate, I predicted, on the current trajectory. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I think we're going to lose because nothing has changed. What's changed in the last 2 years since the president took over? I'd argue nothing has changed. We're pretty much sitting in the same place we were before. Maybe there's a couple of minor things that I think are great. You know, some manufacturing jobs are being brought back here into the United States. I did a story about a Chinese company that claimed to be bringing jobs forward. They're not. They're importing Chinese nationals and Hungarian nationals to work on their factory. So there's a lot of so-called wins. It sounds like wins, but when you look at the depths of all of this, it's not wins. I think right now we're in a lot of trouble. I don't have a direction to point Americans to right now to say this is the reason why you should vote for Republicans. The reality of it is you should vote for Republicans in the midterm so President Trump doesn't have to deal with the impeachment distraction. Yes, that's it. But there's nothing being done in the House or in the Senate to kind of, I guess, laminate the president's executive orders. They're not pushing forward any meaningful legislation. Can't even get voter ID passed either. So I don't know what to tell people. Is there a reason to vote in the midterms? I would say vote, yes, because if you don't vote, obviously the liberals are going to win this one. But I can't really give people an actual thing to vote for at this point.
Absolutely. You got to study each candidate. I wouldn't vote for a neocon over a Democrat, but vote for the good Republicans. Vote for the local ones and run yourselves. We've moved the needle so far. Now we know how corrupt things are. I did a long time ago, but the public really realizes how bad things are and things aren't moving quick enough. Not for me either, but still, we're in a better position than we were, you know, 10 years ago against the globalists, so we can't slit our wrists yet. I want to come back with a few more minutes with you and get your take on the Tyler Robinson, Charlie Kirk assassination trial and some of the insane developments and his boyfriend, Lance Twiggs, that video, we're going to air that just aired in court and get your take straight ahead with Brian Morello. I'm Alex Jones. My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get through the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
And I just want to make this clear, as a small part of the audience, because I get your feedback and I care about your feedback, it's a little confused, and I don't mean this meanly, but I just want to be 100% clear. The 20-30% of, it was almost 40% when this war started, that, well, it's patriotic, let's get behind it. I'd say maybe 40% of my audience was concerned, but at least tacitly said, hey, I don't like the mullahs. They'll fall in 4 days. Let's believe the hype. It'll be just like Midnight Hammer. This is no big deal. When all the dominoes were set up, this would be a total disaster. And I said, okay, watch and see what happens. And they're all like, you must be getting money from Qatar. You know, why aren't you patriotic? This is Trump. We should support him because it's Trump. And I'm like, no, he's been giving bad advice. People need to understand, I don't do what I do on air to be popular. My job is easy. What I do the research on, what I believe is right, what I believe is the most accurate, and I'm not always right, but right a lot more than most people. In fact, people pretty much say I'm probably right more than anybody else. That's my goal. That's what I'm shooting for, because I want the truth. I figure you want the truth, so I'm out there looking for it. And I have a lot of guests on who have the best track records of being accurate as well. And so I'm not happy about this being a disaster. And I want to be clear. I'm not happy the Democrats are scoring points on this, and I'm not happy it's derailed a lot of the good things Trump wanted to do. That was the point of us trying to get him not to get in this disastrous war, which Nick Fuentes 3 years ago predicted would happen exactly as it happened. I was concerned about it, too. I said a virus release they do, stampeding Trump back into lockdowns, which Fauci and others were saying they would do, and Hotez, or the Iran war. But he didn't do it the first time, and he was so good on that, I really believed in Trump. But once I saw them trying to go to full regime change last June, last year, 13 months ago, I was like, oh, there's a good chance it's going to happen now. And then I got hit as a Qatari agent, an enemy of Trump. The surrogates all started attacking me for a year until Trump came out and said I was low IQ and a burnout and fried. And I didn't care that he said that. And then when I got more concerned with the war, the neocon said, look, he's mad because Trump called him a name like I'm in fifth grade. This isn't about me, folks. I got thick skin. This is about being right. And now we've been vindicated, and I'm not happy about that. I said when this started 131 days ago, I said, I'll buy Dom Perignon champagne, which I do like every couple of years when Trump wins or something. Done that a few times on air in 30 years. I will pop it on air if the moolah's full. I said that to Brianna in studio. We did a special Sunday show 2 days into it. And so that's where we are. But, I mean, the arrogance of the Ben Shapiros and the Mark Levins and others and Senator Cruz saying we're all a bunch of pro-jihadis. We're anti-Israel. I want to hit Tyler Robinson, but I wanted to finish up with this before we do that. Brown Morello. When they're so discredited, they destroyed the economy. They got us into a no-win war. They arguably have committed war crimes, blown up girls' schools and things. They have hurt our name around the world, and it's only getting started, and the Iranians know that, for a war of attrition that had been totally war-gamed by the Pentagon, and we knew this was going to happen. 90-plus percent chance. And I don't want these people to say they're sorry. I want the listeners to understand we should be pissed at the people that did this to America and the world economy and our recovery and then all the dangers that come with it. I mean, this is bad. And they somehow sit around and puff themselves up and say we're pro-Islam or something because we don't want to go in one of these other disastrous wars. And again, do we have 40-plus times the Muslims we had here before 9/11? We don't fight them over there to stop them coming here. We fight them over there and then ship them over here. Brionic, just putting bookends on that. There is no off-ramp. Trump says we're never going to have a deal, as you know, at NATO 2 days ago. And then he says that's just it. We'll obliterate them. They're not going to probably fall. And then now the repercussions are going to set in that economists have warned are already here. And we're talking about a global depression, Brianna. One-third of the world's fertilizer in the growing season never went out. We have mass shortages already here. I mean, this is a freaking disaster.
Yeah, it's a disaster when President Trump was trying to, as you alluded to before, was trying to, you know, say, I'm going to try to find a way out of this. I think a lot of people, the pro-Israel crowd, was really going after him. I mean, they weren't happy when he was trying to find an escape route on all of this. Obviously, it was a bad decision in the first place. So, you know, I think we have to pray for the president that he gets some type of intelligence and some type of heart and bravery to just stick it to the rest of them and tell them, no, we're getting out of this. And that's that. So it's obviously going to be something very embarrassing for him because obviously I don't know what the win would be. But I think it's important to just pray for President Trump that he gets the cojones to go out there and push back on all of this, because right now it's not looking good. I know there's a bunch of people. We see him on social media. Alex Bershowitz doing a good job going after some folks who are trying to criticize the president for going out there and trying to find an end to this war. I know it's not making a lot of the pro-Israel people happy, but at least he's trying.
Absolutely. I want to get your take on the trial, what your sources are saying. I've got a lot of sources close to the family, and we did play exclusively a clip with one of the reporters that's been covering this a few months ago, and she's talked to all 10 of the family, and they're saying the official story you're hearing is not true. What you're hearing about him doing it is not true. They're saying he's innocent. They're saying they didn't rat him out, but then they're all scared and won't say it on air, even though Elizabeth Lane, you know, has talked to them and other reporters have that I've talked to. And so I think they're in more danger not coming out with that. I'm not saying the official story is not true. There's a lot of anomalies, and then we've got this clip you sent me before we go to Lance Twiggs and that video they just played that the judge had heavily edited. What is it we're not allowed to see from the furry tranny friend? Charlie Kirk's family is infuriated They have not seen all the evidence being presented before the judge. Moments ago, their attorney spoke in court. Let's play that clip. I want to get your breakdown on this.
We appreciate the court is trying to balance here, but the Kirk family's waited 10 months for this hearing. And they have a right to be here, and they have a right to hear the evidence. They have a right to see and feel what's going on in this courtroom, just like, and they want to understand, Judge, what you are viewing. They want to see the evidence. And we understand you have to balance, but at a minimum, this courtroom needs to be open for the evidence to be displayed openly in this courtroom, for them to see it. The Utah Constitution gives them the right to be here, and to be here and not to see the evidence, what's the point of being here? We ask you to let the evidence be seen in the courtroom, please.
And let's talk about what that evidence is, because I've talked to high-level TPUSA, and they're saying, they're like, you wait, we're not at liberty to say, but you wait till they see it all. Well, yeah, they usually at pretrial show what their main case is going to be. They don't have to show it all, but Brianna, what's going on here?
Okay, so just for everyone to understand, too, because a lot of people were getting really fired up on social media when I was posting about this, the hearing that's happening today, and it's been going on for 5 days in total,
pre-trial.
It's supposed to just show that there's enough evidence to charge Tyler Robinson with. That's it. So you're going to get a little bit of a dribble of information being put out there, but you're not going to get all of the details. And so I'm not a fan of this. I know I was talking to Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who's obviously was a very well-known federal prosecutor at one point in his career. He wasn't very happy about this either, because normally this would go to a grand jury, or if there is a hearing like this, it would take place for a couple of hours, and then the judge would say, okay, there's enough here to charge him. And again, it's not beyond a reasonable doubt that we're talking about charging him here. You just have to show that there's a connection and then validate the charges being initiated. So the fact that it took 10 months to get to this, and it's a five-day hearing, is absolutely absurd. I understand why the family is upset. I understand why they're fired up. They should be able to look at all the evidence to make sure that they're confident heading into this criminal trial that this is the person that did murder their son, their husband, and obviously their father. And so this is something that's really gut-wrenching to watch play out amongst the American people. And we're trying to dissect everything that's happening here, but you're not getting all the information. Again, that will come out during the criminal trial. So keep that in the back of your mind. Now, as you heard there, they're trying to make the argument, and so is this attorney who represents the media. They were also trying to make the argument for transparency in the court. And the judge is allowing some pieces of information dribble out there, but not everything. And so just keep that in the back of your mind. But there's a lot of concerning things that did play out in court over these last few days that is worth paying attention to. You know, we were playing the footage. They were playing the footage. They allowed the public to see this, the footage regarding Tyler Robinson allegedly being on the college campus prior to the shooting. Now, they allege that he was there and he went in and out. You see that his car might be there. Again, I don't see the license plate number, so I can't confirm if it's his vehicle, but they're alleging that it's his car. They're also alleging that he's walking around the campus. The footage itself obviously isn't clear as day, but you could probably tell from, if you were to analyze his body and compare it to the footage, maybe you could tell it's him. Then he has this limp. This is the fourth time, I believe, he made it back to the campus, if I'm not mistaken. He's limping around. This is what the prosecution alleges. He had the weapon in his legs.
And it does look like something's
in
his pants. Yeah, the barrel. Yeah. Let me just say this about AI. If you are going to use AI, and I'm not saying the feds have done this, but there's been a lot of weird stuff and a lot of anomalies, and it doesn't add up. The trick to get around AI is you make an AI video that is always going to have a signature on it, and other AI can tell. Most people can, though it's getting better. You shoot video of the video screen, and then that will tell AI or humans that it's real. If it's good enough to trick a human, then AI can't tell because it's real video of video. That's clearly what they just showed. Show it again of him going up and down the stairs. Clearly a cell phone in the wrong aspect ratio, like everybody does, my pet peeve.
Well, we're shooting just keep in mind it's being played on a screen in the courthouse.
I understand, so they're shooting it off that. But what I'm saying is now when we see that, exactly. But now that we're seeing this, we can't tell, we can't run it through an AI system because we're just shooting it off a screen. I think if the court is going to play this stuff, they need to release the files. Go ahead.
Yeah, and this is why I'm not a fan of hearings like this, because I want to hear from his attorneys. I want to hear from his legal team. I want his legal team to do the forensics behind all of this and let us know if this is legitimate or not. If the if the criminal defense attorneys believe that this has been altered in any way, I mean, they're going to raise it, and they have been raising it. They've been questioning certain video images that were supposed to be brought forward as evidence, whether they were zoomed in or circled. They were going back and forth to say this has been edited and this should not be shown in court. So if they get their hands on the metadata behind this footage, I'm sure they could track it down, whether or not it's authentic or not. So that's something I look forward to seeing in criminal court play out. But again, this is the problem here, because you're seeing this, it's like a mini trial when it's not supposed to be this way. This is the evidence we have. This is what we're going to bring forward. And do we have enough to charge him, Judge? Okay, we do. Here's the criminal court. Oh, this is when the case is going to be. So this is the problem that's so frustrating. Sure. I want to hear from him. I want to hear from his attorneys. I want to hear what's going on here. I want to hear why he was on the campus in the first place. Was he interested? Because during this too, while they're playing this, the witness ends up letting it slip in one sentence, says that I believe when he comes out of the garage and he makes his way onto the campus, that he made contact with a Turning Point USA employee. Now, we don't know what that means. This could just be that Tyler Robinson saw someone who worked for Turning Point, wanted to see when Charlie was going to be up there speaking, and may have asked. But if you're going to let something like that drop out there, I want to hear specifically, is this person going to be a witness? Obviously, I think they will be. But what was the interaction? Because just letting that drop out there is what has a lot of people, don't trust the government, scratching their head and wondering what's going on here. So yes, there needs to be more transparency here. And that's what the family's calling on. Listen, I think the family is being tortured here by having to sit through all of this and listen to it and not get a further explanation. And so they should be able to get all of the information brought forward. And it's not fair to do to them. I mean, normally we spare the victim's family in these cases by letting a grand jury decide if there's enough evidence here to justify charges. We don't do all of this. And so obviously this is Utah that's prosecuting this. And so it's different in that state, but we've got to do better.
Well, shifting gears, there's a lot of other anomalies. Now they keep calling it a bullet. They found a full 5.56223 shell casing with a bullet. They found an entire round. They found that, not just a bullet. And they're now saying, oh, maybe somebody, cycled their gun at law enforcement on another rooftop, meaning they had people with guns up when all this went down. And just all of this, and it just, it's very bizarre. Cash Patel did not want them to look at the 10 pro-trannies and trannies in the 3 days before, 3 days before two of them, 2 days before two, and then three the day before, or six, saying he will be dead tomorrow. Then a bunch of them celebrated, see, we told you he'd be dead. And you had all this other weirdness, and then Cash Patel told high-level TPUSA that told me, when they asked him, well, we're not looking at that because we wouldn't probably be able to convict them. Well, so what? If you've got them saying he talked to them and said, I'm going to kill him, then that's total proof. Why is that not being looked at? And will the defense bring those people up? Something's going on here. And then Cash Patel and that big argument saying Trump's authorized me. We're not looking at any foreign involvement that they picked up pings of. Kent didn't say it was Israel. Everybody said it was that. He didn't say that. So, I mean, I've got a bunch of questions here.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the defense also has a lot of questions, and I'm sure that's going to be brought forward in his criminal trial. And again, this is why this should have been quick. I mean, the fact that they waited 10 months to have this hearing is insane to me, Alex. So all of these questions that you're circulating, that will be called into question. I mean, I'm pretty sure the defense team is going to want to go through all of this and figure this out and sift through the information. And again, it's all quite strange. Yesterday it came out in court that there was a towel apparently left beside the rifle that was abandoned in the forest that they're claiming belonged to Tyler Robinson. And the towel had the DNA of both, obviously, Tyler Robinson, and also had the DNA of his tranny lover, who you see in the video is apparently now dressed like a man. So I don't know if this is a tranny anymore at this point. It's all quite confusing. But if there's the DNA, and again, it's not 100% because they kind of let that float out there that this might be his DNA. Just say it. Is it 100% his DNA? You should know these things.
That's right. Well, here's the bigger problem. I'm not a gunsmith, but I'm a gun aficionado, and I've put together 308s and 30-odd sixes many times. And I can tell you right now, you don't disassemble one in a couple minutes, and you don't take those type of scopes off. You can do it with a red dot, but you don't take a regular telescopic scope off and then slap it back on, and then it's shooting within 6, 8, 9, 10 inches a foot of where you're aiming at 150 yards. Every time you take those off, you got to bolt them back on, you got to bore sight it, or with a laser, then you got to start shooting and walking in. And usually in 5 or 6 shells, I shoot, okay, it's 8 inches off, a foot off. And you got to, okay, click, 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 walk it in, boom. Okay, now it's 3 inches off. And then you click, and I can, at 150 yards, I can shoot the same hole if there's not a bunch of wind. The point is, that don't add up. I'm sorry. It is ridiculous that if they're right, that he is assembled it up there and put the scope on it because he had it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not an expert, Alex, on the issue. So I want to hear what they have to say about it. I mean, obviously,
well, I've had Green Berets and Navy SEALs on and they'll, anybody that knows about deer hunting, even deer hunters, you ever take a telescopic scope off and slap it back on and it shoots anywhere on the paper? No. It doesn't work that way. Now, a red dot, you can slap it on and it pretty much will. I'm telling you, if they said it was a red dot, I'd believe it. It doesn't happen. Brianna, thank you so much. You're really kicking ass. And your news site, we love it. Independent news. My eyes newsroom. Are going up. Absolutely. Independentnewsroom.com. Absolutely. Independentnewsroom.com and Brianna Morello on X. Join us again soon. And thank you so much.
Thank you as always, Alex.
All right. I want to go to the boyfriend, the furry, the whatever it is. And now the judge had this edited and won't say why. But so this is edited and I'm going to air some of this into the next hour. And then I'm going to shift gears into all the other news. And there is a lot of it dealing with election fraud, dealing with the stealing of the mayoral race and what Spencer Pratt is saying. And then we've got the big flock camera deep dive of the tyranny of these things and how humans are using them to abuse people, stalk people, police arrest innocent people. It's crazy. That's all coming up. But let's start getting into some of this video of Lance Twiggs, the 22-year-old man that Tyler Robinson was reportedly shacked up with and taking a bunch of drugs with. And they told him it's a good, young, nice man. Couldn't do it in the photos. I'm not saying he's guilty, folks. I'm just saying. And then you look at him in the court, looks like a whacked-out mind control victim or something, wearing his trans flag necktie. So here's the video.
This meeting is to use your statement here instead of your testimony at a preliminary hearing. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in order to do that, I need to place you under oath and also give you an admonition about false statements, okay? First, you do solemnly swear or affirm that the evidence you shall give in this issue shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
Yes.
I also need to notify you that you are notified the statements you are about to make may be presented to a magistrate or a judge in lieu of your sworn testimony at a preliminary examination. Any false statement you make and that you do not believe to be true may subject you to criminal punishment as a Class A misdemeanor. You understand that?
Yes.
It potentially could be used as for punishment as a higher offense as obstruction of justice. In addition, I just want to make sure that our recording here is clear that you've also been given a federal agreement and a state agreement granting you immunity from prosecution for materials that you discuss now. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First, we're going to cover some of the things that you've already talked about, but to make it as part of this record. First, what's your name?
Full name with middle name or just first and last?
First and last is fine.
Okay, my name is Lance Twiggs.
Lance Twiggs.
Do you know Tyler Robinson?
My name's Candy.
I do.
And this is the same Tyler Robinson that's been charged with the shooting of Charlie Kirk?
Yes.
And would you say when you first met Tyler?
I think it was 2023. I've known him longer than that, though. That was, I think, the first time I met him in person.
Okay. And
will you describe your relationship with Tyler when you first met him anyway? When I first met him, I didn't know him super well. He was just a new roommate, so I knew he knew my friend group, and I knew he liked playing games, but that's about it when we first, when he first moved in.
Okay. Before we go on, I realized my mic was muted at the outset. Was yours on? Your microphone?
No, I
think okay. I'm going to repeat those admonitions just to make sure we got it recorded. Okay, so, again, I place you under oath. Just to make a record, I'm going to do it again. You do solemnly swear that the evidence you shall give in this issue shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes.
And again, I'm going to give you the false ad statement definition.
Sorry, hold on. If they're saying that it's echoing, so I think
this one's mic is on.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, you're not on your mic, but that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, so we should be good. All right. Is that mic on?
Yes.
Okay, great. All right. Okay, sorry about that interruption. All right, so you said when you first met Matt, you were roommates?
Yeah.
Okay. And then at some point, your relationship progressed to something more than just roommates, that right?
Mm-hmm.
When was that?
I think we started dating 2 or 3 months after he moved in.
Okay. And where did you live at that time?
St. George, in an apartment complex.
And is that apartment the same place you lived when on September 10th?
Yes.
When you lived there with Tyler, were you in the same room? Did you live in the same room or different rooms?
Separate rooms.
And at that time, let's say September of 2025, what were you doing with your life? Were you working, school?
I was working. I was doing like bathtub and shower repair and stuff in new construction.
Okay. How about Tyler?
I think he was both working. I think he was working for an electrician company then, and he was also in a trade school for being a, I don't know, higher, like, ranking electrician. I'm not sure how the trade system works for that.
Okay.
But yeah, I think he was both.
What was his typical work day like?
I think he'd leave around 7, generally, and get back around 3 to 4, depending on, like, where the job was and how long it was for the day. And then on certain days of the week during school, like, semesters, he would then later in the day, I think around 5 or 6, go to school. Okay. So, yeah.
Okay. Let's jump to September 10th. Did he spend the night in the apartment the night of September 9th into September 10th?
Yeah, he did. Yes.
Do you know when he left the apartment on September 10th?
I don't know an exact time. I just know he left early. I heard him leaving, and he just said he had a, like...
This guy is just a total mindless zombie. We got a few clips that might be interesting coming up, but this is just unwatchable. These just out-of-control zombies. They just think they're so cool, and it's just unspeakably disgusting. And what we know is that the left wanted Charlie dead, and we know the left celebrated his death all over the country. And because of all the weirdness by the FBI and everything, it's all turned into Trump or Israel killing him. And I don't know what the truth is. This whole thing is a giant whodunit, and at the middle of it is that weird lizard creature who just looks like MK Ultra to the max, and then the boyfriend looks even creepier. I mean, God help us, ladies and gentlemen. But do I believe he could have killed him? Yes. Do I believe he did it with that rifle? Do I believe a 30-06 bullet didn't go through his throat? No. So all I know is the official story's BS. Hour number 3, massive news straight ahead.
In the forbidden mountains of ancient China, Alex Jones, the warrior, returns to complete his training. His fists thunder against globalist lies. Each board he shatters destroys another New World Order deception. Forged in the fire of truth, he trains day and night. Iron palm strikes smashing through Big Pharma's walls. He prepares for the ultimate demon Fentanyl the Dragon.
Oh, hello, Alex. It is I, Fentanyl the Dragon, your arch nemesis.
Fentanyl, you dare to return and face me?
Visit the AlexJonesStore.com today.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
America's worth saving.
I seen this country build towns where there was nothing but dust and empty sky. Men worked sun up to sundown, built roads, railways, farms, and cities with their bare hands. People came here with nothing in their pockets and somehow carved out a life worth living. That's what made this place different. Not power, not money, freedom. And as long as there's still a few hard-headed Americans standing tall, America's story ain't over yet.
You can feel the noose tightening all across America. Fight the enemy before they hang freedom itself.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I want to do this now, but I may revisit it later in the hour, because it is a master's degree in gaslighting. And I'm talking about Ben Shapiro. I saw this clip last night, and it was just flabbergasting. He says, "You're all retarded that question anything about the official Charlie Kirk story." Well, that's not intellectual. That's an ad hominem attack. And he says, "Those of you, you know, saying that they dug up the crime scene or whatever, well, they were getting it ready for a memorial." And that's not what the contractor said. He gets called by the head of the FBI in the state and by the governor separately on the same day. He went public, said it was weird, and said, "Dig out all the concrete several feet down under the platform he was on and put new concrete in." He's like, "Okay, that's weird." And so he just turns it into, "Oh, it's just some pavers. Oh, they just were updating it." That's not what went on. And then he obfuscates over and over again in this short clip. All of it is just a hall of mirrors. You can tell he's reading off a script. So we're going to start and stop this. Go ahead and roll Ben Shapiro.
This is so, it's retarded. Okay, this is retarded.
Oh, wow.
And you're retarded if you believe it. In reality, the school was organizing a memorial to Kirk in the courtyard. Nobody's trying to hide that that's where Charlie was killed. And the school has invested in replacing the grass where Charlie was speaking with new pavers. But the pattern of pavers match standard hardscape and drainage designs. There is zero evidence of anything structurally anomalous. But again, the facts don't matter. This is the whole thing. The facts don't matter. I can spend all day
stop again.
This. The facts don't.
No one said that it was structurally anomalous. It was up on a platform over pavers and grass. When they pulled it all out, it was fine. Why the FBI and the governor, what do they have to do with the memorial the school's doing? They ordered it done. The whole crime scene got torn down instantly. They all ran like they were in a football play to instantly grab everything. I mean, it was wild. Like, they all had their prearranged thing they were supposed to do. I'm not saying they were involved. I don't know what this is, but I know pre-planning when I see it. This has nothing to do with the school. It's on record, the FBI and the governor said, "Tear that out." And they're like, "Why? Just do it. Hurry up. You got a couple days." I don't know what that means. We have to investigate. What is it? I don't know. But he builds these straw men that aren't even based in reality and then says that we're saying the structure of the ground had a problem? No, we want to know why they did that. That's the question. Said we're retarded. We want to know why a 30-06 bullet from 150 yards didn't go through his throat. We want to know why there's not a bunch of blood or any blood at the scene. We want to know about all of this. We want to know why he put a scope on it, worked perfectly. That's not how that works, Ben. I know you don't know about guns. Go ahead and play them.
Matter. They are of zero consequence to Candace or her myriad followers. Because here's the shtick, and this is always Candace, your shtick, always in front. It's also having to be Tucker's shtick and the rest of the conspiracy woke right. The goal is to create a miasma of suspicion around an event in order to undermine trust in systems and foster a belief that the conspiratorial leader is the only one who's telling you the truth. That's the entire game. It's the game over and over and over. So in this particular case, the goal.
We've been lied to so many times about everything. It's normal to be like this. The system's lost credibility, Benny boy. Like you said, Iran will fall in a few days. It's going to work great. Get it? We don't trust you, dude. You primary our leaders. You work for a foreign government. Back to Shapiro.
Royal leader is the only one who's telling you the truth. That's the entire game. It's the game over
That's what
and
he does.
Over and over. So in this particular case, the goal is to create a bunch of smoke and nonsense, a bunch of distraction around Charlie's murder and around Erica. Because again, the idea here is to try to show that Erica is a joke or nefarious or an assassin and turn Charlie's assassination into, again, a call for conspiratorial thinking that implicates everything from our allies to the federal government.
Here's the deal. I'm not saying Erica Kerr killed him. I don't believe that. You go to the most extreme thing to make anybody else asking questions look bad. You were the one saying who should be at TPUSA and who shouldn't and making a big deal about it when Charlie got killed. And now, don't worry, you're in there running the show, pal. So, and now TPUSA is falling apart, which is terrible. You guys ruin everything you touch. We'll be right back with masses of huge stories on flock cameras and more, the economy, the war. Stay with us and share those live feeds. Introducing the AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter Showerhead. You're not just drinking tap water, you're showering in it, breathing the steam, and soaking your skin in it every day. When you take a hot shower, that hot water opens your pores and creates steam. That means chlorine, lead, and many other contaminants in your tap water can hit your skin, your hair, and the air you breathe inside your own bathroom. And unlike most shower filters on the market, this has independent third-party testing. SGS testing showed a 95-plus percent lead reduction using the system, over 99% chlorine removal, and many other chemicals. The system installs directly onto a standard shower head. It literally just takes seconds. No plumber, no tools, no modification to your plumbing. Regularly $139. Today you can get it for just $97.99. That's 30% off. VIP members of AlexShook.com get it for as low as $69.99. That is beyond a steal. Secure yours now while supplies last at TheAlexShowStore.com.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Listen to me carefully. I have so much of the news. I'm going to shift gears out of Iran in 30 minutes, but I haven't gotten to all of it yet. It's very important. We are on a road going off the edge of a cliff with the world economy. That is a fact. 30% of the oil and gas, same thing, roughly 30% of the world's fertilizer, and something like half the world's helium, and hundreds of other special elements and special rare earth minerals that come out of that area and that are fed through that area, that are used in microchips, that are used in batteries, that are used in cars. I mean, Kirk Elliott was on before this war started and said this is the only thing that could derail Trump. And he said that a year ago. Is Israel sucking us into a war? Fuentes said that 3 years ago, and it happened. And, you know, we were saying, oh, wow, this will really hurt Africa if you look at who gets most of fertilizer from there. But because everybody else then has to buy up what's there, you can pull the headlines up. Orders for fertilizer so far in the growing season this year have been cut by almost 50% in the U.S. Just type in fertilizer shortages U.S. Half of farmers not even ordering fertilizer because it's too expensive. You see, it's not just that you can't get it because it's not there. When there's a third less or more, then it jacks up prices. Then they got to ship fertilizer from further away places, and it gets delayed, and then you have inflation because of the oil and gas not being there for the ships, and it has a magnification effect. So if anything, Kirk Elliott, a year ago, people marveled the clubs, said, you know, this will cause a serious problem. Maybe it's just a few months, but if it's 6 months or longer, devastating. But when we said, you know, maybe shortages in Africa and the third world and new migrant flows, which they're now predicting are going to be huge, and the UN will help exacerbate that, this is worse than we thought. So I like to say we're basically almost always right. Well, I'm wrong a lot when it's that I'm right in general, but it's almost always worse than I said, because we try to mitigate, I try to not exaggerate, and so that kind of throws a blanket on what I really think. I need to just start saying what I really think. Because you cut off a third of all this stuff on average, it has devastating effects. Kirk Elliott is an amazing economist, also a degreed theologian. He also has the largest, most successful gold and silver brokerage company in North America with the highest ratings. And he is our sponsor at KEPM.com/gold, where you can buy wholesale gold and silver delivered right to your door or to any of the depositories that you wish. He is the place to go. You know what wholesale is each day. You call up. There it is. There's nothing magic about it. It's so clear. It's so easy to understand. Anybody giving you an hour-long pitch about how they got the best deal on gold or silver, it's talking to you like you're an idiot and something's going on. And so there's a pitch right there. Could also roll over a lot of financial instruments and things like that. If I was going to get gold and silver anywhere, I'd get it from Dr. Kirk Elliott right now, kpm.com/gold or 720-605-3900, one of the smartest things you'd ever do. And now all the indicators are, with what's happening in the economy, at least I'd say midterm, guaranteed long-term, gold and silver will only go up if any of the laws of finance and industry and business and the economy and industrial systems, that's the main driver, are there, particularly with silver. But I don't really have words to quantify how big this is that we're 131 days in. And then Trump said 2 days ago at NATO, he already played it twice in the last few days, I'm not going to play it again. He said, it's over. We're never going to have a deal. Just total war. We'll just keep bombing them. Well, the Pentagon believes they'll hold on for years, probably, if forever. And so if the strait stays closed, they've got workarounds in the next year. They're trying to build those canals, build those pipelines, but the Iranians can just hit those ships, which they've shown, or those pipelines. So that's not a complete fix. So Dr. Elliott, looking at this, Trump continues to get frustrated. He's been lashing out at Israel, giving him bad advice. But then J.D. Vance, who was against the war, they've sent, who's getting the blame for not getting a peace deal, while Rubio, that was for it, hides in the shadows. And he's now the heir apparent with the Israel firsters and neocons all endorsing him already, 2+ years out from the election. We now have video coming up. But Trump says Iran may kill him. I may be gone, too, because I'm their number one target. Oh, my God, Israel might kill him and then say Iran did it. Those are very dangerous things for Trump to be saying. We know after they tried to kill Trump and Butler, they floated that it was Iran. I predicted they would do that. So this is a Trump opening the door up for a false flag. But as an economist looking at this, and then the other numbers coming in, I know you're optimistic the first month. You said if it ends soon, we could still pull out of this in the economy. Then about 100 days in, you said, no, it's too late. It's going to cause a major recession, maybe depression. Now we're a month later. As you said, this compounds, it lenses. So let's speak about the war. No off-ramp, pig-headedness on both sides, Israel driving ground invasion, and then look at home house prices hit all-time high as sales slow and mortgage rates rise. Sounds like stagflation to me in the real estate market. And then all the other big developments that have happened. Dr. Kirk Elliott, thanks for being here.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Alex. I mean, it is stagflation. And this conflict, it's almost like a head fake, right, in basketball. It's like, you think it's over, then it's not. Then you think it's over, and then it's not. And this is the problem with the economy, right? Because everyone's looking at what's going to happen to the price of oil. And if the conflict ends, the price of oil comes down, gold and silver should go through the roof, the stock market should go through the roof, cryptocurrency should go up a lot, right? But now that it keeps lingering, it's like, is it going to end? Is it not going to end? Right. And so there's all this turbulence and all this turmoil. I mean, even at the Fed, right? So you look at what the Fed, you know, basically their minutes from June came out. It's like, well, we're not going to raise rates right now, but we're not going to lower them either. Why? Because they don't know either, Alex. They don't know how long this thing is going to go on because it just keeps lingering. Right. So in the end, it all boils down to supply and demand for me, and with the price of commodities, with the price of oil, the world needs oil. Ultimately, this will end or else prices continue to go up, 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 up. And we have major global stagflation. The price of gold and silver will go up because this conflict ultimately will end. But in the meantime, you've got this transitionary period where it's going to be up and down, up and down, up and down, consolidating, and people don't know what to do, right? But here's where, when you look back to Kevin Warsh's first speech when he kind of did a 180 on Trump, and said, you know, before that, when Trump was vetting for him, he said, yeah, I'm going to lower interest rates. We're going to stimulate the domestic economy. This is great. Then 3 days after he came in, now we're going to keep rates higher for longer. Then, you know, if you look at things like poly markets, right, these predictive type algorithms, you know, they basically are saying, you know, oil is probably going to come down. Interest rates are going to come down. You know, so prior to things that were happening, right, which last week, or actually the last few days, this conflict igniting again, Polymarket said the chance of interest rates going up were 68%. The chance after, you know, this peace deal was made and everything else was only 48%. Well, now it's oil is exploding again, right? Because people can't get this thing figured out, and it's really problematic. So here's where I want to tell everybody, I don't think this is going to end anytime soon, whether the conflict ends or not. There has been a shift in demand for oil for Iran. If the conflict ends tomorrow, I think we've got some changes that are happening, because this war has been going on, or conflict has been going on, since February, right? So what's China been doing? China is the number one exporter they receive Iranian oil. They're the number one trading partner for Iranian oil. They're the number one purchaser of oil on the planet. So since this conflict and the Strait of Hormuz being shut down, what did China do? They did what any other business owner would do, and said, well, we better find another source for our supply, because we're not getting it from there, right? So they've gone so far as they're sharpened their strategic focus on and renewed momentum on green energy. Right, so maybe moving forward, they're not going to buy as much oil at all. So here's where this conflict is giving us such competing news stories, competing messaging that people don't know how to navigate through. I want to try to help you navigate through it, right? Because when there's conflict, the price of oil goes up. We saw this 3 days ago. The price of oil jumped up like 6% in a minute. Right. When Iran decided, well, we're going to bomb some of these commercial ships, and Trump retaliates and bombs the living daylights out of everything that moves there for a bit.
Well, let me interrupt you since you mentioned that, because I should announce this again. 170 airstrikes by the U.S., including the Bashir nuclear power plant, on fire, large parts of it on fire, huge explosions. We can show people some footage of that. That's just an example of how this is escalating and escalating. What is that going to do to the markets here? You've got Pakistan saying if Israel ever nukes Iran, they'll nuke Israel. North Korea said the same thing. I mean, the threat escalation ladder, this is a runaway train. Go ahead.
It's a runaway train, and Iran's kind of hosed in some of this, right? Because what does China do? When, like anybody, like any business owner, they said, hey, we can't get our supply of oil, and the price of it coming from Iran because of the Strait of Hormuz is going through the ceiling. Let's find some other suppliers. So because of this, Iran may have lost its major trading partner with oil on the planet.
And so that's the big question. How long can they hang on, and how long can we hang on? What's their numbers? What's this doing to them? And then what's it going to do to the world economy? What's it already done?
I mean, that's a really good question. I mean, the world economy is going to be hurt for a while. How long can they hang on? People are making irrational decisions, right? And so sometimes people can stay irrational, or things can stay irrational longer than we can stay rational, right? So you look at this. This is an ideological war. It's a war of worldviews. It's not just a war about oil and who controls the Strait of Hormuz. It's bigger. It's deeper than that. It's a political, economic, spiritual war, all boiled into one, right? And because we're not the only players involved. Israel's involved. Israel and the Arab Muslim nations haven't been gotten along since the beginning of time, right? So this is hard to get out of, right? So when this escalated again, you know, the propensity for a month was oil is coming down. This is great. The inflationary pressures have subsided. And this is why Polymarkets said, we're probably not going to get rate increases because inflation is coming down, right? Well, now oil shot up through the ceiling again, up like 6% in a couple of days.
So I mean, what's that uncertainty? Because finally, after 131 days, even the Republicans, other governments, not just the Democrats, people are saying, we've heard from Trump over 50 times, regime change, we've won the war, they're all at the bottom, we've got a peace deal, we don't have a peace deal, we're going to totally obliterate them, we're making a deal. And now people finally get that this is that no one's in control, and that they've got the war of attrition, we've got the war of attrition, it hurts them, it hurts us, and it kills Trump's recovery, and then we're in this stalemate that hurts everyone but BlackRock, who's happy because they want everybody deeper in debt. They want a global collapse to bring in their great reset. Larry Fink is as happy as a pig, and you know what?
He is. So here's the competing data sources. The conflict should cause prices of oil to go up. What did Iran and OPEC do over the last couple of days? So OPEC, the OPEC Plus agreement, they decided, hey, let's increase the supply of oil by 188,000 barrels a day. Now, this isn't just Iran, right? This is OPEC overall. So what are they doing? They're saying when you have higher supply of oil and less demand, China's going more towards green energy initiatives. Their demand might be coming down some. So you've got higher supply, lower demand. What does that mean for prices? That they are going to come down. Here's the conflict. You've got massive conflict in Iran and in the Strait, and it's shut down again, right? And so it's like, well, that's going to cause the prices to go up. So here's where the narrative, Alex, really starts to shift in people's minds, and their psychology is changing because nobody believes anything anymore. Oh, yeah, the war is over. No, it's not. Oh, the war is going on. Well, the next day it's done. Nobody's believing anything anymore, right? And this is going to add massive volatility into the markets. Like I was looking at the stock market 2 days ago after this happened. It was up like 600 points and then it was down 400 the next day. I mean, it's bipolar.
And I want to speak to this. So this is a big deal. You're saying last year and this year at the Davos Group, WF, they said the loss of confidence, the public doesn't trust the establishment. They try to act like alternative news is what has lied and lost confidence in the world. No, it's them and the people getting wise to it. But still, the establishment didn't stop lying. They doubled down at every level to where now no one believes anything. A lot of people think I'm a clone or something. The other super extreme, because you have a general public, it's starting to wake up, and a lot of people have been awake a long time. And so now they think the earth's flat. They don't know what is real. And so this is a crisis in confidence, because confidence in the currencies, confidence in the system, even if it has problems, is what makes civilization. And people say, well, you're a statist. No, I'm not. The problem is every time you have a loss of confidence, things collapse. And within a few weeks, you get warlords. Anarchy never even lasts that long, and it's hellish. So it's not that I'm even defending any of these systems, but these systems are what we've got. It's like a lifeboat. It's the best you've got. And really, when you look at all that's happening in the world, IQs dropping, people not living as long, more and more people getting lazy, hard work people getting working harder, but finally breaking their backs. When you look at this at the end of a major cycle, the fourth turning, it's here. And so we're looking at major birth pains going into the new cycle. And you add to all of this high energy, low food output, which the UN pushed, which the globalists pushed to create a global crisis. But they thought they could pose as the saviors and bring in a world government through trust by cutting off resources. That's an admission, not my opinion. Now that's backfired. They went, woo, put the brakes on that because we're going to end up getting hung over this. But then they're like, oh, we don't have to blame it on a virus with lockdowns. We'll use the oil cutoff as the reset. I mean, it is so diabolical. And Elon Musk goes to the world government summits and tells them, you used to have wars when you had resets. You used to have feudalism. That's not going to work with 10 billion people. They're going to kill all of us. So Elon Musk, through third, fourth, fifth level consequences, whether he's good or bad, is trying to stabilize things. Because if you're the richest man in the world, you need a stable, successful world or your wealth is worth nothing. But just like by the 50s, we had 4% of the world population in the U.S. We had half the world's wealth. Now it's less than 1%, has 90% of the world's wealth, but they've killed their own wealth because by consolidation, it actually killed the real economy that is the true wealth. It is the greediest, stupidest thing, and they use the excuse of eugenics. Well, there's too many people. We're just going to cut it off and depopulate them as if they're not going to get blowback from that. They have literally followed a pipe dream of Satan, the mad scientists have, and built their own gallows here. I know I'm ranting, but I mean, I cannot quantify for listeners all the data. There's so much. It's bad, folks. We are hurtling down a very dangerous road here, as you can see around you. And people think this is bad now. If we don't change course very quickly, people are going to look back on 2026 as a time of heaven compared to what the world's going to look like.
Well, it's already there. So let's look at some job numbers, right? Because this is going to amplify how bad things actually are that are being hidden. Because you get dual messages. You get messages from the government. For example, let's use the job numbers that came out at the end of last week. Employers added 57,000 jobs. They're going to put a positive spin on that. It's like, we added 57,000 jobs. This is great.
Okay.
This is a significant slowdown from the 172,000 jobs that were added in May, right? So, but what was expected in June? The expectation was 110,000 jobs added. We only got 57,000. So it's like, this isn't good. But let me add to that picture, because it's not as even, it's even worse than that. So what's happening in June and July in America? The World Cup. It's big. I mean, so the estimates are 40,000 temporary jobs were created in June because of the World Cup. So those are temporary. Those aren't real jobs. So if you'd minus those out of the 57,000 jobs they say that they created, really only 17,000 were created, because I don't count 40,000 temporary jobs as jobs. They're going to be done in a few weeks when the World Cup is over. Right. So the job numbers are absolutely brutal. And this, you know, take it with a grain of salt. This is with Trump being a good business guy, right? He's doing the best he can with what he inherited from Biden. Imagine how bad it would have been with a Biden-Harris administration. It would have been absolute bloodbath. And it's not good now. I'm not saying it's good. It's actually bad. So let's look at the second set of numbers that came out last week. The unemployment rate, which a lot of times economists look at that because it's important. It ticked down from 4.3% to 4.2%. It's kind of a nothing burger, right? So some people are saying, oh, this is good. Look at the unemployment rate ticking down. It's like nothing. But wages, this is where you're going to get a positive spin from the government. Hourly average earnings grew 3.5% annually in June. Pretty good, right? No, it's not. Not when inflation's at 4%. So there's this widening chasm that's making things even more unaffordable. When inflation grew by 4% and wages grew by 3.5%, people are actually getting behind the eight ball more and more every single month.
And we've got 70% of people hand to mouth in the numbers. So it was 67% like a year ago. So here's the bottom line then. It's going to stay closed. The economy's going to get worse. The midterms are 3.5 months away. We're going to see. I think the Republicans may lose the House and Senate.
I agree. I think they could lose both because people vote with their wallets, right? So here's where, as an economist, and you, with what you do, it's usually easier to predict what's going to happen tomorrow than what's going to predict a couple years from now, right? Well, right now I can say it's really hard to discern what is going to happen tomorrow. But it's easier for me to say, I think this is what's going to happen a couple years from now, because you've got these competing elements happening right now of oil going up, but yet these job numbers are terrible. OPEC is increasing the supply of oil, which is going to cause oil to actually come down. So what is that going to mean for interest rates? What's that going to mean for Kevin Warsh? Well, the Fed said, we're not going to do anything right now because we don't know what's going on. But ultimately, I think the domestic policy is going to outweigh the reality of
Yeah, let's talk about, because Trump's saying there's $19 trillion has been invested. Well, it isn't here yet. Let's talk about that when we come back.
Introducing AquaPure, the ultimate water filter showerhead. Ladies and gentlemen, on your screen are the major third-party scientific tests. This is the very best, top-of-the-line water filtration system for your showerhead. It just takes seconds to be screwed on to any system, no plumbers. You owe it to yourself, your husband, your wife, your children to cut out the gender-bending chemicals that are in all the major tap water supplies. Most well water is contaminated as well. You can't just filter the water you drink. One of the biggest places you can pull the studies up that we absorb poisons is through our skin and through our lungs. The amount of chlorine in major water supplies is insane. You know, if you put fish in tap water, even if you aerate it, even if you feed them, they die within hours. That's because it's toxic. That's because it's poison. Chlorine alone kills bacteria. Great, you don't get dysentery, but it destroys your gut flora, and it's directly linked to cancer. Then you've got the fluoride, you've got the lead, you've got the arsenic. This system reduces it all 95 to 95%. Now, we've got gravity-fed filters that cut it all out, but those are drip, drip, drip. This system is the very best on the market and reduces it from 95 to 99%, depending on the hundreds of chemicals that are out there in the studies that have been done. And that is the top of the line because it's forcing it through fast. It's got really good pressure, and you are reducing it down 95 to 99%. That is the best you are going to get if you live in one of these cities with the deadly tap water. And so many areas like Los Angeles are toilet to tap. They recycle the birth control and the Adderall and all the thousands of pharmaceuticals and the feces and the tampons and the microplastics all go back in, go through all these complex systems. They fill with all this chlorine and then they ship it back out down your water pipes. And not to mention what's in the pipes and all the buildup. And then when sewage runs off, it gets into the water supply. You are insane if you're drinking tap water. And you can look up the studies for yourself. Almost all well water and aquifers in the United States are heavily contaminated with thousands of different chemicals like lead and mercury and arsenic and fluoride and other forever chemicals. So, again, I can tell you forever in my home, we have these systems, and it does hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of showers before it's got to be replaced. The head's not replaced. We have the replacement filters for $30. For this quality, nobody can beat it, and it funds our operation against the globalist. This is very, very competitive at the normal retail. Listen to this. Normal retail is $139, but for everybody, it's $97.99. That's 30% off. And for VIP, $69.99. That is a steal at that deal. So anybody buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, whether it's t-shirts, high-quality supplements, water filters, you name it, should be a VIP. It's $30 a month. Instantly get $40 to spend, special deals, special offers, and special sales on top of sales on everything. Cancel any time, so it's not even a commitment. You just get the better deals. We get to remind you of those, and we've got a lot of really satisfied customers. Over 90%+ reorder rate on our supplements, and it's starting to happen with our water filters as well because we've got the best deals and it funds our information warfare operation. This is the best. You owe it to yourself. Secure yours now while supplies last at thealexjonesstore.com. And I want to thank you for supporting the transmission while at the same time making yourself healthier, wealthier, and wise. God bless you all. Now take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
We're doing man's work here, fighting for the species as our forebears did, building, competing, striving. Trailblazing. The maverick spirit is alive and well. Reality starts here. Victory starts here. Tyranny dies here. Freedom grows here. You have the power in your hands right now before we cover all this incredible, game-changing, over-the-horizon information. to share the live feeds now at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live, the coordinates of victory, and Real Alex Jones on X at AJN Live, and more. AlexJonesLive.com, our news site with the feeds, video, audio, article, special reports, government documents, think tank reports, and more.
AlexJonesLive.com, because there is a war on for your mind.
You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Former federal prosecutor and WABC overnight talk show host, very smart, and he's got big problems with the official story of Charlie Kirk's assassination, the ongoing Tyler Robinson pretrial, day four right now. He's going to co-host with me in the fourth hour, and I've got a lot to get to and a lot to cover there. This is very important. It's captivated the public, and it's really hurt the Trump administration because people out there think they're involved because the story doesn't add up. We know Cash Patel's covering up some things. I just find it hard to believe that people involved with TPUSA, that some of which I've known and are just, you know, kind of nerds, nice people, would be involved in this. But then you've got the all of it. It's just insane. That's coming up. I want to hit flock cameras because it's come to a head and it's got the public's attention, and I can wake people up about everything else with this. But it's big news on them framing people with them, innocent people, corrupt police stalking people with it. We've got a bunch here after Kirk leaves us here in a few minutes. But Kirk, you know, I'm sitting here frustrated talking to you, and it's not you, because it's I kind of psychoanalyze myself. Every day I'm frustrated, more than I've ever been, because there is this lack of clarity. There is this whipsawing. There is this roller coaster. And I know historically when you get that going on, and the most powerful country in the world is basically the engine of it along with Israel, I'm pissed at Israel's leaders. I'm pissed at our leaders. We've been proven right about common sense. The Pentagon was right. And then we get called Hitler. It's just crap. It's crap. To be sane, to be informed, to be competent, to be serious, to be rational, and to be sitting back like an adult in the room. And then you and I are rearranging deck chairs in the Titanic here. And we kind of just keep restating the same stuff each week with the new developments. But it's just more of that. And then I hear you say, and I really respect you because you're almost always right, you say, now, I think what Trump baked in will mitigate a lot of this. Now, the first month of the war, you still thought that. Then a couple months in, you said, I don't know, it's going to be bad now. But then it sounds like because of them increasing oil production, you think that'll mitigate even if the war continues. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I really respect you, and I know with real economists have to put so much into it, and also street smarts and understanding and going out and checking things themselves. That's why Mark Mitchell's the top pollster. He's been a CEO and headed up, you know, Fortune 500 companies. He has a lot of street smarts. It's not just the polling. It's also, you know, going down and talking to people at the beach and going to a bar and going to church. It's, you know, on the ground talking to people at the airport. It's human intel. But I don't know what's true because I've tried to get the numbers. Trump says 19.7 or whatever he said at the NATO summit, trillion has been invested. Well, I've heard that many commitments, but then you go study some of them, it's not that much. Let's say it's really 10 trillion. I don't think Trump even knows. But he keeps a tally of it. What people claim they're going to invest, Japan, South Korea, everybody, NATO, weapons, that definitely has happened. So we have a trillion a year coming in for our weapons. I mean, I guess that's kind of what Trump now says. Well, that's our new economy. I'm not worried about the average person. I'm worried about war. And by the way, we're a war economy. That's what the EU says now. So it looks like he's adopting that guns and butter thing. And so, you know, here we are. And do you have any ideas, an economist, what it is? Because the best numbers I have is It's definitely over 10, 12, 13 trillion that I've seen and added up and, you know, been committed. Some have said they will, but not fully committed. Correct me if I'm wrong. And it looks like about 5 trillion has actually come in. They're building factories and stuff everywhere. Anywhere you fly around the country into cities, I mean, you see it going on, particularly Austin, but Salt Lake City, yeah. Denver, Tennessee looks like, it, you know, aliens have invaded when you fly on airplanes, just building everywhere. Nashville, Knoxville, everywhere. So, I mean, I know it's going down. I see it. But is it enough? Is it quick enough? And you just perked my ears, and I know you don't push hopium. You said you think it'll mitigate a lot of the pain. Did I hear that right? And can you then now elaborate? Because this is some good news. I want to hear this.
Yeah. I think it's going to mitigate the pain for a while because you've got volatility, right? When you've got the competing economic interest, conflict causes oil to go up. The increasing supply will cause it to come down. What is this going to do to interest rates? Well, I think we're going to stay steady for a bit. I mean, this is kind of important. So interest rates will stay steady. The fact that the wages,
by the way, in the 2+ years you've been on, you've called interest rates 100% accurately. But that's hard to do. You've 100% called it right.
Yeah, I think by the end of this year, Alex, to last quarter to first quarter of next year, we might get one rate decrease. Why? Because the domestic economy needs help. It stinks. So they'll do that. This is why it's easier for me to make a future prediction than it is immediate, because we've got so much volatility. But moving forward, we'll probably get one rate decrease by the end of the year or early next. And then I think they just go up because the inflationary pressures will be so extreme. Because governments are going to be faced with debasing their currency and printing themselves out of this
mess. Okay, so I misunderstood what you said. We're going to have a dead cat bounce?
Yeah, I think so. Probably for the rest of this year. But I think moving forward, you're going to see inflationary pressures. Now, here's the problem with that, Alex, is you alluded to it earlier in the show, the bankers, the Rothschilds, the globalists, right? They own the banking system right now. What do they own moving forward? The banking system with much more power and much more control because it's going to go digital. This is going to be their answer out of it, right? So they actually is a win-win for them, right? And so here's where moving forward, how do they win? They win because people lose trust in the system. This is exactly what's playing out right now. Do we trust that the war is over? Do we not? Do we trust that our banks got this figured out, or do they not have any money? Do we think that Trump is going to win this thing, or do we not? Do we think that the Republicans can maintain in Congress, or do we think not? This is the volatility. Every single day that passes causes more and more volatility in people's minds and more distrust. Well, here's where we get to take advantage of that, right, as wise and prudent investors. So look at traders, like look at the futures markets. Like you and I had gone over a couple of these charts, right? In particular, silver and gold, which is the world that I live in. But let's look at what they expect in August. This isn't even very far away. So if you look at the traders and their futures contracts, you can either have a large increase, a small increase, a small decrease, or a big decrease in prices. When you look at the chart of conditional projections, this is their expectations. That the traders that think silver is going to be up big is like literally 90% of the chart. The other ones are saying, oh, it could go down a little bit, could go up a little, it could do nothing. 90% of them easily on this chart looks like they're expecting a big move by August. Same thing with gold. If you look at the gold, it's even more pronounced. So what does that mean for volatility? What does that mean where they think this economy is headed? They think that people are losing trust in the system. And this is sad to me because people are losing trust. You know, we talk a lot about owning precious metals as a safe haven, right? It's what you do when people lose trust in the system. It's what you do during times of inflation. It's what you do when currencies are debased. This is what central banks are doing, Alex.
So the fact that 90% of the institutions, Bank of America, Warren Buffett, Goldman Sachs, believe it's going to explode, as we already saw earlier in the year, that is a red light flashing on the economy.
Yeah, it's a red light because gold is to me, the best barometer that we have in the world of people's trust and confidence in the system. Like, let's go back in time, you know, during the Reagan years, you know, boy, the Cold War was over. The Berlin Wall came down. Newt Gingrich had the contract with American Republicans and Democrats are talking. You had interest rates came down. The stock market was booming. Real estate was booming. What did gold and silver do during that like 20 year span? Like nothing. Didn't do much of anything. Why? Because people trusted in the system. That all starts to change when people don't trust in the system. This is why you're seeing gold and silver go up, because it's a paradigm shifting moment where even central bankers, and we talked about this the last time I was on your show, banks are in the business of lending money. You can't lend money unless you have collateral. What are they using for collateral? Gold. It's the number one held asset by central banks on the planet now, right? So now we as individuals get to do the same thing that central bankers are doing. We can allocate into gold. We can allocate into silver. Not all gold and silver is created equal, though. This is where let the buyer beware, right? So a lot of your viewers who have maybe watched network TV, and it's like they've seen a company, and we'll say it, Roslyn Capital, huge on Fox News. If you're watching Fox any day, you're probably seeing them advertised four or five times. They filed for Chapter 11. They filed for, how could they, such a big company, file for Chapter 11? Because they don't deal with bullion, right? They were dealing with their own inventory. They were taking people's money, holding off because of delays on getting inventory from their vendors. And by the time they were able to fulfill the trade, the price of gold and silver went up so much, they literally, you know,
And that's the difference. You sell at wholesale, boom,
yeah,
directly to people. That's why you have the highest ratings. So, folks, this is a no-brainer. This is the place to go. I could have other gold sponsors that make five times the money, but they just sell you stuff heavily marked up. They sell it to you as collectible all day long. When I sell our ninth coin in like 5 or 6 years, it's a fundraiser. Cost is $67. There's 5,000 of them. We sell them for $117.76. So we make 40-something bucks. As a fundraiser, you know it's to support us, have a memento. Yeah, the coins we made in the past, you see them selling all the time, 3 or 4 times that. So you could call it an investment. We're not selling it as a guaranteed investment. We're selling it as an investment in the broadcast to get our great coin, thealexjonesstore.com. We've already sold out more than half of them. So if you want to get one, get one. But when you go to Kirk, it's the wholesale price, and you see that in the market, and that's what you get with their little advisement fee. And that's why they're the top. That's why they're the guys. KEPM.com/gold. You go there and you put in your email. You say, I want a consultation. They usually call you back that day. Sometimes in that hour. Sometimes it's the next day if it's like a Friday afternoon. Or you call the number 720-605-3900 and you set up a free consultation. And it's super low pressure, folks. In fact, it's too low pressure. It's actually hard to get them to sell you anything. But that's because they're the real Christians and the real deal. That's why they're number one. And that they're only able to do this because of the super volume, 25 years in the business. Briefly tell people also, you can roll over a lot of financial instruments and things and what to beware in closing, Dr. Kirk Elliott.
Yeah, so you can do old 401ks if you've retired. You can do current 401ks if you're over 59 and a half. You can do IRAs. If it has IRA in the name, simple, SEP, traditional, Roth, inherited. Those can all go into physical metals. I'm not talking about paper, not talking about ETFs. I'm not talking about mining shares, physical metals stored in your account. I mean, obviously that's just the retirement plan side of it, but you can store it or you can take delivery of it at home if it's outside of an IRA. The key is bullion. You don't want to happen what happened with the company that just filed for bankruptcy for Chapter 11, which are taking people's money, waiting to buy the place to trade until their vendors had supply because they ultimately got stuck. And now these poor clients have nowhere to go. There's nowhere to unload some of that commemorative collectible stuff. So this is why owning bullion is so important, because it's a global commodity. It's used for manufacturing. You know, Sony and Samsung, when they're buying silver, They're not buying 1 ounce commemorative coins. They're buying 1,000 ounce bars from the exchange. See, that's bullion. That always has a built-in market.
It was so frustrating. I'm not criticizing Tucker. I love him, and he's got a great sponsor and company. He does like whole hours explaining this to people. It's simple. Buy bullion, buy it at wholesale. It's bullion. It's wholesale. You see it in the market every day. Anybody saying they have it at spot's a liar. That's what it is in the ground. Wholesale, bullion, reputable company. Oh, Kirk Elliott, you know, 4.9 stars, biggest company, best reviews, bullion, wholesale, not rocket science. Simple, real stuff is simple, folks. Complex stuff is when you get to look out. Dr. Elliott, thank you so much. People need to call you. They need to take action. 90% of the traders and companies are saying the big investment firms are hoarding it up. Buffett's never been for it until the last year. Now, he's not just in cash. He's in silver. I mean, this is, I think, the smartest move. You're a great sponsor, KEPM.com/gold, or the toll-free number right there. Everybody should give you a call, and hopefully Trump can get us out of this war. Thank you so much, and God bless you and your family.
I hope so. Thanks. God bless.
All right. On this subject, we need to use this opportunity of people being pissed off in Europe, the UK, Australia, the U.S., because you have these congestion cameras, these license plate reading cameras, these face scanning cameras. There's different companies, but Flock's one of the biggest that is openly working with the police and the local constabularies. Now you see Amazon with is really the biggest of anybody with their rings. They're now merging with Flock. They're basically in a partnership, and Amazon's selling the data as well. And that's what I want you to know. Oracle, Amazon, Microsoft, Google, they are the big daddies, okay? They do everything Palantir does. They just don't want the public to know, all right? And I'm not defending Palantir. I'm not defending Flock. This is something that is really weird with the influencers and some of the audience, that when I'm trying to teach people about the whole thing, people go, no, I learned about this. That's the bad thing. It's all extremely dangerous. It's all out of control. I'm just teaching you from studying what the big stuff is, the smart meter on the side of your house. The biggest is the phones, listening, watching, tracking, getting all your data, your photos, Google Mail, reading all your email. They admit all that. This has been going on forever. And now Flock is pissing people off because the police are using it, and they're getting innocent people in jail, and some police are caught stalking people with it, or their ex-wives or their wives or whatever. And so it's good that people know about Flock. It's good that people are pissed off. They're pointing them at playgrounds. They're putting them in parks. They're putting them in state parks. And people say, well, there's no perception of privacy in a public place. Yeah, but it's the state. It's the government. All these videos are coming in. People do FOIA requests in Colorado and Massachusetts, and where drones are in their backyard, and they file a report because you're growing vegetables. And then they SWAT team you to see if it's marijuana or whatever. Some liberal cities are like, oh, we want regulations to control this. Like the Bob Dylan song, Sundown on the Union, where he says, I can see a day coming when you're having your own garden. They'll be against the law. So the point is, we're way deeper in the surveillance state than most people know. And there's kill switches for at least a decade in all the cars. You can't get cars anymore that aren't digital. And it's the law they have kill switches and hidden cameras and microphones. Europe just put the regulation in. It's now the law by the unelected EU dictatorship, as of yesterday, that all cars have a camera facing you, watching you, reporting you in live time with AI back to humans. Meta glasses, they came out and said, their own employees with a whistle. Hey, we're watching you have sex. We're watching you have your corporate meetings. AI's giving it. It's farming it out, selling the data to your competitors. Whether you're a small business or big, we're already under AI surveillance. But the Flock thing has gotten people's attention. So that's good. And people are cutting them down. And they're cutting them down in similar systems all over the UK. And I'm not anti-technology, but the way it's being deployed, I'm saying this is good to see some pushback. So here's some of the headlines. People are vandalizing Flock surveillance cameras in Virginia amid privacy concerns. A guy got arrested in Texas doing it. He says, hey, it's unconstitutional. I'm fighting back civil disobedience. More Flock cameras cut down in Houston amid some privacy concerns. ABC News. Air Force engineer accused of cutting down 13 police cameras says they're unconstitutional. How Flock cameras wrongly tracked me for days, stolen plates, and sent police after me. because zeros are also O's. There's a bunch of stuff with this. Study finds self-driving cars crash more often. So the point is, this is healthy, but this is the tip of the iceberg. But notice it's them using the grid that's already in place. Imagine if I said, all of you by law must have a little robot in your house that listens to you and watches you and sends it back to the government corporations. You'd freak out. Europe's already done it. Your cars already have it by law as well. They're just being more honest. Hey, we're watching you by law. We're watching you. Not just kill switches in your car. Remember what that director of the CIA said like 20 years ago? He said, oh yeah, now your dishwasher is going to be watching and listening to you. That was Petraeus. So it's healthy that people get it, but it's not just Flock is my point. Okay, that's just feeding the data in to Oracle and Microsoft and the governments, and then they sell what they want to sell to government, what they want government to be able to use. They decide what they can get. They decide what they can use. That's how this works. But then you have all these innocent people being abused by the functionaries of the system using this. So who watches the watchers? So the first clip is a clip 44 Flock cameras being cut down. Then let's go to 59. That's the Houston situation. And then we'll go to a couple of these stories. This is a woman who, again, wrongfully, they came after her saying she robbed packages and she didn't. Play these back to back.
This camera has been cut down, completely sprayed over with an American flag on it. And not far away, there's another Flock camera on the ground as well. HPD says it's investigating this, but so far, there are more questions than answers. These cameras, meant to help solve crimes, now becoming the target of one, both cut in half and covered in spray paint.
Yeah, I didn't realize that the cameras were there until you actually pointed that out.
Juan Rodriguez's business, Spar Houston, is located by Washington Avenue and Westcott, where this happened. These are Flock cameras, meant to read license plates and alert police if they're connected to crimes. Rodriguez says he didn't see who did this, but he's left wondering why they did.
That's what it sounds like it would be. Somebody just protesting their rights are being violated or something like that.
Flock cameras have been used in the city of Houston since 2021, according to the company. The Houston Police Department tells us they were notified these cameras were damaged on the morning of July 4th. As far as the repair costs, HPD says it depends.
Let's stop there. So that's the corporate media whining and bitching about it. They already have 15-minute cities going in the U.S. They're already in Germany, in France, in the U.K., Ireland, Scotland, and England. And they tax you if you leave your house, depending on how they do it, two or three times a week. You're allowed to drive your car. After that, you get taxed. Just all sorts of harassment, but it's total surveillance. But when we come back, I've got a bunch of examples of this. Innocent people charged, innocent people arrested, police stalking people with it, and we have a lot more. We have police whistleblowers about what's going on. But that's down where the rubber meets the road. That's what the corporations that are setting up this system are letting the police even have access to. Remember in Denver, the police were using license plate reading, the feds were, but because it was a federal grant, still the state owned the cameras, they said the feds couldn't access their Flock cameras that were governmental. Similar systems, not Flock, but license plate reading. So this is a big deal, and it's waiting like weapons aimed at us. It's already in place. The future's already here. It's just not evenly distributed.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company because they're the best. And he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900 and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price, price of the metal in the ground. Manufacturers, miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground. They dig their tunnels. They drive it to the refinery. They melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3 to 5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is. I mean, what's wholesale gold and silver? And then you get it from them with a little processing fee, and then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation email. You call 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Hour number four. We'll be looking into the latest on the Tyler Robinson, Charlie Kirk assassination trial. We're in day four of the pretrial. Former prosecutor and syndicated talk show host out of WABC, Lionel, joins us next segment. But getting back into Flock, I could do all 4 hours on this every day. I mean, there's all these whistleblower cops, bad cops caught stalking ex-wives with it, all sorts of, it just goes on and on. And then all these innocent people constantly getting taken to jail or arrested or SWAT teamed. And it's almost always because they have a zero or an O, and then there's somebody with a similar license plate that was an O and not a zero. Get a SWAT team. Or the cops pull you over, pull guns on you, and it's like an old black lady, and it's like they're looking for some white bank robber. I mean, seriously, it's just crazy. And that's what happens when they go off these machines. And they say, well, we'll wait till they get perfected. Folks, it's about replacing us. Here's a clip of a recent case, and this is last week, of this lady. No criminal record, nothing, but because she was driving in an area and some other blonde-haired lady stole a package, they know it's her. And they didn't want to see her own car cam footage, which a lot of smart people do that all the time now. Little do you know, your car is already recording you and sending it back to Big Brother. Here it is.
We have cameras everywhere in that town. You can't get a breath of fresh air in or out without us knowing.
Chrisana Elzer learned the power of Flock firsthand.
You were in town from 11:52 until 12:09. Exactly. Like I said, nothing gets in or out of the town without us knowing.
When a Colorado police officer showed up at her door holding Flock snapshots of her truck.
And here's when you left. At 12:09, that's when you left town.
To get?
No, to stop at Ridge Trail.
Wait a minute.
And take a package. Well, there's no shushing. I don't need to be.
Yes, there is. I need to know where this is.
The first thing he pulled out on the body cam is that Flock picture, the clear photograph of your car.
But here's your vehicle in the neighborhood many, many times, apparently casing houses, because you just can't drive through for work or visit other businesses. You can only be casing houses.
It is her. It is 100%. It is locked in. There is zero doubt. I wouldn't have come here unless I was 100% sure. 100%. It is certain. It is on video. You're obviously welcome to go to court.
Chrisana was charged with stealing a package, but it wasn't her. The porch pirate was somebody else.
Multiple times you tried to show him your video evidence. He didn't want to see it.
Even when I called him back, he said, that's not my job.
You looked at a time of a crime. You saw my vehicle entering in the Flock camera.
No. What I did was I did an investigation.
You called my wife a liar. You said this is fact.
I have video evidence. I don't know what you want me to say.
The charges were dropped after Chrisana spent weeks trying to get the police chief to look at her evidence. Time-stamped video from her truck and a neighbor's doorbell camera showing she wasn't at the scene of the crime.
What does it say about where we are that you feel you have to have more cameras than the police have in order to make sure you can prove yourself innocent?
It sounds like it flipped the script to you're guilty until you prove yourself innocent.
Without a Flock camera, that detective would not have been at her door. By his own admission, he pulled out the Flock picture of her car. Do you want to apologize to Chrisanna Elzer for what happened to her?
For the police misusing the tools? I don't think that I have to apologize for him.
He wasn't charged with a crime. He wasn't, I mean, other than being reprimanded for his attitude.
Sure. No, but I would tell you that, like, should I apologize for somebody misusing a tool? I don't think so.
Flock Safety Chief Communications Officer Josh Thomas.
Who's watching the watchers in these cases?
Well, the city council. The city owns the data, so city council would have the appropriate responsibility in that case. Our point of view has always been that it is not Flock's job to police the way police do their work.
The point is, we have a corrupt system, and this is all going to be misused from day one into this. And remember, big tech only gives to the police and the government what it wants. You see the congressional hearing still where the senator goes, my granddaughter said she saw me on this thing, and she says it tracks where we're at. They go, no, sir, we don't have GPS on phones. Okay. Well, there's not GPS. It's triangulated with the cell towers as GPS. So they all play these games. Folks, we are way beyond 1984, okay? For 15 years, your Alexa and Google Home Assistants are watching everything you do, and now they jack in and control your thermostat and tell you what to do. It's a robot takeover.
Do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
We're about to get into the Charlie Kirk alleged assassin pretrial and how this has captivated the nation and why it gives me a migraine headache. I'll explain why in a moment. With Lionel, a former prosecutor, syndicated talk shows out of WABC New York. Find him at Lionel Nation on X and on YouTube. But before we go to him, just finishing up with Flock, this is Big Brother being implemented so people are pissed. But with the Alexas in your house, the Google Assist, they have cameras, not just microphones, they're always on. They admit that, your smart TVs, all of it. They admit the terms of service. It's always recording. Your phone's always recording. That's how you can say, Siri, if you have it on, you know, you have to, mine's turned off, but even when it doesn't respond back, it's still on. It's selling all that data. And I told you this two decades ago when they came out with smartphones. It's in all the patents. They're doing it. Now the public gets it. And think, as of this year, all the new cars have microphones and cameras watching you. Europe made it the law, camera facing the driver, hooked into AI, just like the Meta glasses. And this is all designed to take full control of society. And then they can lower your social credit score for anything they want. And just all of this goes into the AI data system. We got to pass laws. We got to curtail this. We've got to become aware of what's happening. But when they first came out with Alexa 15 years ago, I told people, it's on all the time. Here's the patent. Here's how it works. People are like, oh, shut up. That's Big Brother. Oh, you just say, oh, Alexa. And it's listening. It's on. And that all came out later. It was people hack them, listen to you, you name it. It's not just government. It's criminals can use this or police using it to stalk their ex-girlfriends. That's now happening. It's Pandora's box. It's absolutely Pandora's box. You protect your privacy, not even because you're a criminal. You lock your doors at night because there are bad people.
Not because you have something to hide. You lower your blinds at night, not because you're a bad person, but because there are bad people. That's what fences and walls and doors and guns are about, is to keep the saber-toothed tigers out of your house. You know, back when we had to deal with that. So I decided when this flock thing came to a head, we put a T-shirt out, a brand new one at thealexjonesstore.com, that shows someone cutting down one of these surveillance camera towers. Don't spy on me. And it's a form of civil disobedience. And you've got these engineers and Air Force veterans and others that are cutting them down, saying it violates their rights. That is your own decision. My point is, this is a more of a rhetorical statement of don't tread on me, don't spy on me, the man with the chainsaw cutting this down. And when they use them for 15-minute cities and congestion taxes and to tax you when you use your car more than three times a week, as they do all over the UK now and many areas of Australia, it's coming here. Just like I showed you the police arresting people for praying or saying something that they don't like that's politically correct in the UK. Now we have footage in Texas. Female cop in Texas, we'll play that in a moment, threatens to ticket veteran and Christian street preacher for offensive speech at Pride event. They're across the street. If you say something and they say they're offended, you go to jail. Well, the street preacher says the wages of sin are death and hell. Arrested in the UK. Now that's coming here because the same globalists run this whole thing. So get your new shirt at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm definitely going to be wearing mine. Also, you have 2 days, today and tomorrow left. It only happens once a month, but there's this 1 week where you anything you buy, you get put in 250 times each order at thealexjonesstore.com to win both the super off-road sports car vehicles. One's a sports car, made in America. One's an off-road, souped up, made in America. $20,000 in cash. The Dodge 2026 Dodge Charger, 2026 Ram 250 Lariat, plus $20,000 cash. You have today and tomorrow till midnight, and that's 100% because the sweepstakes does end at midnight by law. That's all governed by law. Ends tomorrow at midnight central. Main offer. Also, when you spend $99 or more at thealexjonesstore.com, on top of all the sales, you get $17.76 off on your order. That is an insane deal with all the other things that are happening. We also have the highest rated new shower filter system. It is incredible. You breathe this stuff in, it goes through your skin. It is so important to filter your shower water as well. That's an amazing system. And we have the collectible coins, more than half sold out of those that came out last week. The 250th year anniversary fundraiser coin, so we can hire more crew, get more hosts, expand back and be bigger than InfoWars ever was to fight the tyranny. That's all up to you. So get the America 250th celebration coin as a fundraiser. It's $117.76 if you're buying at retail. But for everybody, it's $99. And if you're a VIP, it is $69. And it's the same on every product we sell. Bigger discounts if you're a VIP. Be sure to be a VIP member at thealexjonesstore.com. And thank you so much for keeping us on air despite the CIA, FBI, and the whole system coming after us. So do I trust the system when it came out in court, the CIA and FBI ran the show trials against me and the default judgments? No. And I thought things would be different with Trump, and in ways they were. But he's brought in Todd Blanche, who's now the acting attorney general who killed Ed Martin's investigations with Trump's government weaponization task force into the cut-and-dry crimes they committed against me. And I'm not bringing myself up. That's a big case that was happening to somebody else. And now you got Cash Patel that I broke, confirmed, killing any foreign involvement connections, not looking at 10 different tranny supporters that said he'll be dead when he comes tomorrow. Then they celebrated. They're not looking at those people. You have the 30-odd six. Obviously, he's not what he was shot with. Now you have this other full shell casing round of a 5.56-223 found on a roof up there. You've got him supposedly, you know, with this video with the gun barrel in his pants. Okay, maybe that's real. How do you then slap a regular telescopic scope on and have it be accurate? Anybody that's ever done that knows once you take off a regular telescopic scope, put it back on, you got to sight it in. I mean, if you were lucky, it's 6 inches off, usually a foot off. Okay. So, lucky shot. Didn't even know how a gun worked if he didn't know that, but he still got him in the neck. And then there was a magic bullet like with JFK, but that's all in the past. I'm not going to pretend I know what's going on, but Mark Twain had a quote. I posted it on X the other day. I forget the exact quote. He said, it's not what you know for sure that gets you in trouble. It's what you know for sure isn't true. You understand? It's like when you're sure of something, you can prove it. And it's all. But it's when you're like, well, this isn't true. I don't know what's going on, but all of this is impossible. And then Ben Shapiro calls you retarded if you ask questions about that. Well, the majority of America doesn't buy it. So you're retarded saying, let us eat cake. You used to have 2 million viewers per video you put out. You were big. Now you got about 2,000, bro. So keep calling us retarded. We're not. So Lionel is going to take over and host. Because if I interrupt him, it'll just get into all he has to say. Former prosecutor, and now his 43rd year as a licensed trial lawyer, acclaimed legal and media analyst, hosts syndicated broadcasts on WABC, top state, biggest station in the country, seen on YouTube at Lionel Nation and X at Lionel Media, LionelMedia.com, currently hosting weekend overnights on Heritage, Talk Powerhouse 77 WABC in New York, and syndicated nationwide, all talk radio veteran and proudly unapologetically contrarian, at Lionel Nation and on exit Lionel Media. Lionel, I can imagine where you're going to go, but I want to sit here and eat my lunch and listen to you. Then I'm taping a big podcast with some special guests that are here. We got Harrison Smith coming in, loaded for bear at 3 p.m. in about 46 minutes. But I want to hand the baton to you to just go.
Can I say something first?
Yes.
You have no idea how many times I remind a lot of these youngsters out there that you are the OG, to use that term. You are it. And you were talking before about different things people are worrying about, people are watching. I remember that one of the first times I ever heard you, you talked about cable boxes listening to us. And they laughed. He said, this was like 95, I don't even know when. And you called it, and I said, I love this. You know, true, you were the only radio show I've ever listened to in its entirety. I've never heard a radio show, never heard a talk radio show, ever, ever. Rush, anybody, I've never. You, I have. And I just want people to understand there's a lot of new faces, a lot of new voices, a lot of new people who are trying to claim the helm, but you are it. And you have been before it was cool, before YouTube, before social media, you were it. And I think still are. And I just want people to understand that.
Well, I appreciate that. But, you know, I'm just trying to save the country and the world and survive under attack. So for me, it's very frustrating that I've been vindicated as all of this stuff has gotten 100 times worse. And, of course, you've been exposing this for a long time. You brought me up to talkers, to address talk radio back then. Got that at maybe 16 years ago. So, but you're the expert on this case and have covered it. And I got to say, early on, I really had trouble believing it was a cover-up. But I know there's a cover-up. I just don't know exactly of what. So, Lionel, thank you so much, my friend. I'm going to sit here and eat my Philly cheesesteak and listen to you.
Thank you, sir.
Love you.
Eat your Philly cheese. Let me say a couple of things right off the bat. First of all, I'm not saying any of this stuff. I'm not saying it's a cover-up. I'm not saying anything. I don't know what the hell happened. I have no idea what happened. But what I'm saying is simply this, and it's a very, very simple idea. Under our system of government, what we do is we have a very simple rule that says you've got to prove the case against me. Prove it. Just prove it. I don't care whether I did it, didn't do it. Prove it. In my career, I got into more trouble. Well, I shouldn't say trouble, but I got into I incurred the wrath of a lot of people. But I said right off the bat that Casey Anthony, remember Casey Anthony, that horrible woman who they say killed her daughter and maybe did, probably did. But I said she's going to be acquitted. Oh, my God, the people went crazy. What are you talking about? You're out of your mind. And I was right. And the reason why I was right is because I knew they couldn't prove it, because they found a skull. And there's no way you're going to prove homicide. As you know, the four types of death, if you will, think about the acronym NASH, N-A-S-H, natural, accidental, suicide, homicide. And actually unexplained, but NASHU doesn't make any sense. In any event, I said they're going to find her not guilty. Sure enough. Then came a guy named George Zimmerman. Remember the Trayvon Martin case? I said they're going to find him not guilty. Oh, my God, you racist, you. Do you think it's right? I said, I didn't say it. I liked it. What I'm saying is I knew the stand your ground law in Florida, and I know they're going to acquit him. Sure enough, they did this. During the Diddy case, oh, my God, I said he is not, they're not going to get him on, oh, they got him on this Mann Act thing, which is so, I mean, talk about anachronistic. Taking, what are you, Jack Johnson, transporting women over the state lines? Stop it. Stop it. But I knew when it came to this notion of trafficking and racketeering, I said, there's no way. Sure enough, I was right. Now, am I a Pythonic? Am I Vatic? Can I read the entrails of the beast? No. But I know the way this system works. Now, let's start off with a couple of things. I want you to imagine right now that I walk into court and say, Judge, I got an idea. I know this is a preliminary hearing, but I've got an idea. Let's just bring in a jury. Let's go to trial right now. Right now. Right now. Right this moment. We don't need to have this hearing. We'll stipulate the probable cause. Let's just go. Let's go. Get this out of the way. But I'm going to forego and I'll waive any kind of motions to suppress because you'll see why. But let me do the, imagine doing a combined opening and closing. I know what I'm saying is hypothetically ridiculous, but just hear me out. And I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I want you to go back into that room and I want you to find Mr. Robinson guilty. And in order for you to find him guilty, you're going to have to find that the state of Utah proved beyond and to the exclusion of every reasonable doubt that Mr. Robinson killed Charlie Kirk. With what? With a rifle. Their rifle that has a DNA on it. They love to talk about it. Their rifle with the DNA on their rag. Their rifle that was found. Their rifle that he wanted to get. What rifle? The rifle that killed Charlie. That's what is important. Today when they had that hearing, you heard it. When he was on the phone with a Junebug or Luna, whatever her nickname was, Lance Twi. By the way, Lance claimed that, didn't he? We'll get to Lance in a moment. But the rifle, the 30-06, the 30-06, the Mauser 98, the rifle. He killed him with a rifle. Only one problem. There was an ATF document, and we're going to get to this probably, I hope, maybe today or tomorrow, that said that it was inconsistent or was inconclusive or they were not able to necessarily prove that this rifle, the Mauser 98, granddaddy shooting iron, this one killed Charlie Kirk. Whoa, wait a minute. Hold it. What? That's right. But let's move on. No. Let's don't move on. You're telling me that the connection between Tyler Robinson and the murder of Charlie Kirk, namely this rifle, is inconclusive or you cannot prove it?
That's reasonable. That's a reasonable doubt right there.
That's right there. Alex, let me say, I know you put that Philly cheesesteak doggone it. Imagine, Alex, that if I said to you, same situation, but it's you. And next to you, there was a bazooka and a musket, a flintlock. So what? Yeah, but it was next to him. But it's not linked to it. This is a lint brush. This isn't connected to the murder either. This is a gun that, now, I'm not saying this, Alex. I'm not saying this, but it seems to me somebody, if I were to write a movie script, my script would involve this. They thought, again, I'm not saying this, but in my movie, they thought that they could dispatch with old Mr. Tyler, kind of like they did that feller from Butler. And all this stuff wouldn't matter because he'd be gone. And if there's no Tyler, there's no case and it's over and we just move along. But for some reason, he thwarted the system by turning himself in and not confessing. Well, let's go back to the original one. So ladies and gentlemen of the jury, if you find Mr. Robinson guilty, you're going to have to find that he, with malice aforethought, intentional, premeditated, he killed Charlie Kirk. With what? His bare hands, directed energy weapons, lasers, thought, telepathy, I don't know. But it sure as hell isn't that rifle under the aegis, so to speak, of the law, because there's no connection. They want you to go in and all these geniuses. And by the way, Alex, you know who your buddy Barnes and I have been tangling. I don't know where the hell he's been lately, but he's throwing away everything. She's guilty. And they're also blaming Candace Owens, which has nothing to do with this case. I swear to you, I don't want to get into that one, but I'm on X and I'm having a lot of fun. I'm a bit of a you-know-what stirrer, and I like to talk about this and use my freedom of speech. But 90% of everything is what Candace Owens is saying. She's not on trial. Yeah, but she said this. She's not on trial. What are you talking about? This is nuts. It's, you know, during the OJ case, can you imagine if we had, you know, X or whatever? So let's go back to this. So ladies and gentlemen, you're going to go back and you're going to find them guilty. What about the confessions? I'm glad you brought that up. What about those confessions? Those confessions that he supposedly gave. Now, remember, I submit to you, dear members of the jury, that without that gun, we don't even get to the confessions. Confess what? Confess what? Alex, let's say you walked into, please don't stop eating. Let's say you stopped into you walked into the Orem, Utah, or the Provo, Utah, or with the police, and you said, hello, my name is Alex Jones, and I killed Charlie Kirk. Arrest me. And they go, whoa. Where's the gun? Don't matter about the gun. It's somewhere. I don't know where it is. I lost it. But listen, I was there, and there's a picture of me here. Just arrest me. Why? Because I hated him. I hated what he said about whatever. Israel, trans, Trump, whatever he said. Just arrest me. Now, the police would not take you into custody. Even after you, and you say, and I'll sign my Miranda rights, and I will say under oath that I did it. They would say, sir, we're not going to arrest you just because you said this. Did you know, as a matter of fact, during the Lindbergh case, do you know how many people called up? And by the way, interesting trivia fact, the chief of police was Norman Schwarzkopf's father. But the number of people who called up and confessed to killing the Lindbergh baby was nuts. I don't know why people do this. Think about the women who fall in love with, you know, the Hillside Strangler. And
by the way, you're a former prosecutor, but people forget this. I've read about this a lot, and police talk about it, in big cities particularly. There are crazies all the time coming and confessing to crimes and murders.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, in fact, that's called, believe it or not, the corpus delicti, which is different than what people think. There has to be an evidence of something. So what I'm saying is, we have, in this particular case, think about this, we've got Tyler Robinson. He went in. Alex, what do you think about somebody who turns themselves into the police but doesn't confess? That make any sense to you? No. You, in my scenario, you walked in and you confessed. They won't arrest you, but they arrested him. Why? I don't know. They could have just said, listen, Sonny, you go home and we'll get back with you later. We're not going to arrest you now because you don't have probable cause, but, you know. And here's the best part. And forgive me, Alex, because I kind of feel like you're my brother. My mind is going a million miles an hour, and I've got vectors, and I pull things out of the air, and I'm sorry if it's not linear. I'm a bit desultory and elliptical, but that's my nature. But, Alex, had they gone to a grand jury, impaneled a grand jury, and the great Saul Walker, the great New York jurist, said any prosecutor could indict a ham sandwich. Had they indicted this ham sandwich named Tyler, there would have been no need for the preliminary hearing because probable cause would have been established, and that's it. But for some reason, it's like these things that they step on their stuff. I don't know why. I don't know.
For some reason, the 30-odd six bullet didn't go through his neck. For some reason, he was able to slap a scope on it and still shoot him.
We're going to get to that later. Now, let's assume for some reason or another, and by the way, because I could also see me filing a motion to suppress and having the judge say, Judge Graff, by the way, I don't think he's only been on the bench barely a year. I don't think he's going to throw away his political career on this. But if he said, okay, I'm going to grant your motion to suppress the rifle, there is no, that's it. Please, this is a lint brush. It doesn't, what, they're going to look at that
rifle.
Well,
then there's how the rifle's found. They have all the police running around with dogs and can't find it. Then the FBI walks right over to a chicken coop and goes, ah! The FBI was there 2 minutes when they found it.
Those dogs can smell a fish fart, okay? To say it as we say in the South. And they, for some reason, couldn't find this. But aside from that, had they just issued an indictment, this would have been for naught. Anyway, but let's assume that the judge doesn't grant a motion to suppress. He could grant even a motion in limine, meaning you can't even mention it, and the case is over with. But I would love to ask somebody, I'd love to imagine there being a imagine this, just in my heart of hearts, Gunnery Sergeant Alexander Jones, United States Marine Corps retired. Gunny, state your name for the record. Alex Jones. I'm not imitating you, but okay. Do you know something about guns? I certainly do. You know what a 30-06 is? I certainly do. Can I show you something? This has been marked as state's exhibit number, whatever it is, and we've taken the firing pin out, but this is the gun. Can I direct your attention to something? Yeah. You see this, and I'm not an expert in this like you are because you're a hunter, but there's a safety thing that you got to flip up before you shoot. Can you show me how the position of the scope impedes the the making of the rifle operable? That's one little problem. Number two, as you said, he took this thing apart, put it back together, had to readjust, recalibrate, and took it apart, took it down, left the screwdriver on. Okay, aside from that. But he
I'm going to stop interrupting, but I know you want to go, but I want to hear what you have to say. But yeah, no, not, it's ridiculous. Exactly. The scope was put on there wrong. But all of it, you don't slap a scope on it and shoot it. It doesn't hit the side of a barn. It's not how it works. Plus, it's a red dot.
And a microscopic tag being planted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Collins saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder who put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health. What it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder, and what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
If
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
All right, my friends. Thank you so much. Lionel with you. Sitting in, sort of, for my good friend Alex Jones. And when I say my good friends, I'm proud to say that. I have been an acolyte for the longest time because he is, there has never been a hellraiser. There's never been anybody who I think is more responsible for what we consider now to be kind of an accepted medium than he is. By the way, you can follow me on YouTube at Lionel Nation. Now, let's go back to this. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I'm not asking you to find Mr. Robinson innocent. I don't have a theory as to what happened. I don't know why he'd want to do it. I don't know anything. I'm here to tell you one thing and one thing only, that you will not be able to say that the state proved its case beyond a reasonable doubt. That's it. I am a radiologist. I hold up an x-ray. I look at an x-ray and go, either that's broken or not. I have that home pregnancy testing. Why you want to find out whether your home is pregnant, I have no idea. But I hold it up and say, oh, it says pregnant or not. That's all I do. I don't know who this person is. I don't know why they got pregnant. I don't know if they should be a parent. I don't know anything about that. I don't know how the person broke his leg. I don't know if they, I don't know. I'm just here to answer a very, very simple thing. If for some particular reason the court were to rule you do not need a weapon to prove the means of that, but you're saying this is the weapon, this is the weapon that you keep talking about, the Mauser 98, the one that had the rag on it, the one that had his DNA, the one that had Luna's DNA, the one you keep talking about this, but yet when I bring up the fact that it's inconsequential, or rather, it's not provable. It's not, you can't show a connection between what was fired and what, it's ridiculous. But let's go a step further. Let's say the judge says, nope, you got to proceed. Okay. So let me get an understanding. Are you saying then, Mr. Prosecutor, that rifle was the cause, that bullet came from that rifle, and that rifle shot a 30-06. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying? They've got to say yes. Okay, so you want me and the jury to believe that this rifle left this little hole. Now, you saw this. I don't want to go into detail, but you saw this. It was horrible. It was horrible. There was a crack of something, which was very interesting. This wound appeared. There was a gush, if you will, and then Charlie fell to his left. You're saying that, and they even had photos, or they had filmed behind Charlie, and there was no exit wound. No, nothing. Right here. And there's all kinds of stories, a bit apocryphal, about how some people claim that because of his diet and his health, somehow the bones absorbed. I don't know about that. But is that what you're saying? Now, then I put on, oh, I have witness after witness, trauma surgeons. I have hunters. There's a wonderful piece going around. This is so interesting on X of hunters trying to reenact what would happen to a bovine or porcine head that took the brunt of a 30-06. And then to rebut this, to refute this, somebody put up on X pictures. Look at this. Here are some hunters, you know, with a 5-10 point, whatever it is. They're there. The head's not exploded. It's like, you idiot. Nobody goes, does a headshot when you want to have a trophy. You hear such incomprehensibly, logically illiterate people saying things I still can't. And I'm only going to say this one more time. 90% of everything on X is Candace Owens. I don't know what that has to do with it. Okay, fine. Now let's move on. Now let's talk about the confession. Confessions are normally like this. There's two kinds. One of them is, aha. And the other one is, well, that's this one. This was the weirdest thing ever. So let me get this straight. This guy, Tyler Robinson, did this and confessed to supposedly his parents. Now remember, I'm going to say this again, and forgive me for repeating myself. If Tyler Robinson did this and you can prove it, great. But if you can't prove it, we got a problem. I don't care who you are. Prove it. I've got no skin in this game. I don't care. I mean, I want you to find out who did it. But I have a feeling, and maybe it's because of me. Maybe it's because of my age. Maybe my generation. When I was 5 years old, I saw the Kennedy assassination. I saw my mother. My mother was crying. And I remember that. From 1963 to 1968, over a five-year period, I remember in my lifetime Martin Luther King, John F. Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, in 5 years. So I have been immersed in this. I also went through Vietnam, Watergate, so I'm a little jaundiced. And there were people who came up with some pretty crazy ideas then. Did you know that when Mark Lane came up with ideas that refuted the official narrative regarding our JFK, they said, you're crazy. You're a conspiracy theorist. And then, as Alex well knows, there was this CIA kind of a memorandum that came after the fact, which weaponized the notion of conspiracy theory, and they used their Mockingbird associates to create the illusion that sometimes, in order to bring something like this about, the number of people you would have had to have had in on it, and all these, they have an instruction manual for how to handle this. But anyway, but that was Mark Lane. Now there isn't anybody walking around who believes for a moment that it was a lone gunman. Nobody. Even, I think it was this one particular case. But anyway, this is one book, case closed. Aside from that. Number two, there was, if you remember, when 9/11 came about. 9/11, loose change, Dylan Avery, which then was, I mean, made people say, what? This is nuts. This is crazy. The notion of Building 7, you're out of your mind. You're un-American. Now you're demonic, by the way, that's the term, or you're anti-Semitic if you question things. But you were crazy. You were a conspiracy theorist. Now, I'm not saying it's accepted, but a lot of the stuff that was said then is now makes a lot of sense because at least initially you can't believe it. Because Marshall McLuhan said something very interesting. He said that little lies are hard to keep secret, but big lies are easy because of our incredulity. The worse it is, the worse the allegation, the worse the claim, the more horrible it is, the more people murdered, the more people harmed, the more you will say, no, I don't want to believe that. So, and if it's the government and other things as well, you just push it away. The Epstein case. How many people today still believe he hanged himself, even though his thyroid cartilage and hyoid bone were shattered, according to Michael Bodden? People don't want to believe this. They don't. And then they say things like, well, but why wouldn't they just kill him before? I don't know why. That's not a part of the calculus of our discussion. But going back to this confession. You don't know what the parents are going to say. Now, I don't know if the parents are going to testify, and I would love if Tyler testified at his trial. Now, you and I know he probably isn't going to do it, but I'd say, listen, bud, you don't have anything to lose. You go for it. And as far as you know, he could say, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't write that. Those aren't my words. Here, look at my words. Look at my texting. I don't even use sentences. I use glyphs and gifs and memes and morphemes. I use hieroglyphics. I'm an idiot. And I've got commas here. Look at this one particular, what is this, ChatGPT? Commas, capital letters, punctuation. Who is this? What is he, George Bernard Shaw? All of a sudden he writes this. That's number one. Number two, how do you authenticate a text message? How do you authenticate a Discord message? Authenticate is very simple, and you always hear the same word. Is this a true and accurate depiction of this? Mr. Jones, I'm handing you what's been marked at stakes, exhibit number one for identification. Do you recognize this? Yes. That's a picture of me standing on top of Mount Rushmore. And is this a true and accurate depiction? Yes, it is. That's authentication. How do you authenticate Discord? Do you mean to tell me, and I want to be crazy for a moment, I admit it, but let's assume you really wanted. You couldn't pick up the phone and say, hello, Discord, yeah, do me a favor. If anybody asks on this date regarding this account, this is what was said. How do I authenticate something? I don't show you a picture of my phone. I would go to Apple or Android. Who is it that sent this? I know it sounds crazy, but these are different times. Not only that, AI. They used to say a picture's worth 1,000 words. Now it's worth nothing. So aside from the notion of authentication and 403 evidence, which I don't want to go into, we got some very serious evidentiary issues. But anyway, but let's say mom and dad take the stand. And mom and dad say, he didn't say he killed anybody. Maybe he thought he did, because you know what? One alternative theory is, some might suggest, and again, this is not my bailiwick, but some might say, you know, he might have been there, thought he was part of something else, and they set him up as a patsy, and he was freaked out. And they say, I was there. There was one issue, one sentence, I don't have it handy, but he said, I was there, past tense, and I will take it. I had the opportunity, and I will take it. It's this weird mix of past and I don't know if it was just a mistake. Who knows? But, this is a very interesting thing. What if the parents say the reason why he was there was we told him, we talked to our friend, the now ex-sheriff, he said, you better turn your ass in because you're going to wake up one morning with all kinds of red dots and some trigger-happy cop is going to claim you scratched your butt the wrong way and they open fire and you are not a problem anymore. So turn your ass in now. Now, and why does that make sense? Because he never confessed. I ask you again, who turns yourself, who turns into a police and say, oh, no, I'm not here to confess. I just want the meals. I just want the three hots and a cot. I just want to stay here indefinitely, perhaps. No, I'm not here to talk. I want to get a lawyer. What? And then we have this one. As you know, the Sixth Amendment, the Confrontation Clause, the right to confront witnesses. How in the hell do you have Junebug or Luna, whatever, Lance, Twigs? How in the name of God do I have a video of him and I can't cross-examine a video? I've never seen this. Now, I know it's a preliminary hearing, and I know the rules of evidence are lax, but how do I cross-examine a video? That is a person sitting there. Did you see him? It's like he had a rod up his back like this with a prosecutor or somebody leading him through it. And then you came in and then you found this thing. Yes. Under your keyboard. Yes. And there was a note. Yes. Yes. And they sure cleaned him up, didn't it? Didn't he? And the first question I would have said is, hey, Lance, let me ask you a question. Before we get into this confession, tell me about this immunity deal they made you. Huh? Well, you see, Lance, according to most people, if you were to be creative, I could show that perhaps maybe you might be looking at a charge of, we used to call it, accessory after the fact. They don't have it here, but harboring a fugitive, obstruction of justice. You and Tyler are talking about destroying evidence. And if you get that, get rid of that, rifle and don't talk to anybody. Don't talk to anybody. He's telling him don't talk to anybody, but yet he's telling everybody on Discord and his parents, everybody else, except the police. Now, all I've got to do is I've got to make that jury say, as we say in the South, that dog don't hunt. This doesn't make any sense. I've got some real doubts. I don't know whether he did. And if he did admit, and if Tyler were to take that stand, I know this sounds crazy, but if I could write this movie, if Tyler took that stand, and I'm not saying this is what happened, but again, in my movie, if he sat there and said, let me explain something to you. I'm a screwed up kid. I'm 21, 22 years old. Look at this. Look at my, choice of a partner. I don't know if I'm gay, straight. He's a fuzzy wuzzy, a woolly bully. I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm playing D&D and Dungeons and Dragons. I'm out of here. I'm out of it. Look at me, for God's sakes. And I don't know what I went there for. I don't know what they told me. I thought, okay, I'd be the kind of interesting, kind of weird. But the next thing you know, I'm the patsy. And I hear this, and they go, what the hell's going on here? And they say, it's me. Now, maybe they see, maybe. Now, you can also talk about something. If he was there to act as an accessory, did you really bring a rifle? Is that yours? Did you, what is he, there's no way to tell unless he takes the stand. But if he did, if he said, I didn't shoot anybody, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what, I got the hell out of there. Here's the coolest customer. I'm at a Dairy Queen, no big deal. I'd love to get a gunnery sergeant, somebody knows about sniping, Alex. I said, what do you think of that shooting? Not bad. First time ever? First time? Now, I'm sure the guy shot it, but sniping? How would you rate him on the field? What would you, if you gave the Marine marksmanship or expert, he'd be an expert. Assume that. What if the jury looks at this and says, you're right about that? And then I get somebody on who says, let's assume he used that rifle. I'll make it easy for you. I'll assume it was a 30-06. And I bring in trauma surgeon from whatever it is, Mount Sinai, pathologist, expert. And I'm going to say, does this look like a 30-06? Is his head still on? Yeah. No, it's not. No. Literally, what about an exit wound? Exit wound? All the people in the back would have been. Does this look at 30-06? No. So the jury then says, first of all, they can't even connect the rifle, number one. Number two, if they could connect it, because they found a little bit of a casing. They said casing, jacket. Once the throat dissection is there and you give me in the paper, in the plastic bag, tell me all, show me what you got. Let my experts look at it. What is this? Where is that? Where is that bullet round? There. Where? There. What the hell is that? That's what's left. That's what's left? Did you look through the rest of the body? And by the way, when a body comes into the medical examiner's office, man, they x-ray them. I mean, it's, they say, not only get out of the room, but leave the next county. They crank that thing up to levels no human can withstand because he's dead to make sure there's any, is there anything anywhere else? No. Depends on that ME's report. Remember, doubt, doubt, doubt. The jury is going to be thinking, wait a minute, I'm not so sure about this. And you know what? When you go through this confession, confess to what? And of course he was nervous. And then we go back to the boyfriend, the girlfriend, the, I also want to know very frankly, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I want to know his mental health history. I want to know his criminal justice history. Does he have any priors? This guy, and listen, with all due respect, and I know you might think what you want of me, but I'm pretty open-minded about this. I know there are all kinds of people. We've been in New York for decades, and I've been a part of this, and I've known people in show business, I got to be honest with you. I don't know any trans people. I really don't. I've known a few transvestites, but I don't know trans people who were playing Dungeons and Dragons at night in Discord and a guy who was a fuzzy wuzzy, woolly bully, whatever the hell that's called. So I want to know about mental health history. And under Brady against Maryland, the 1963 Supreme Court case, you got to tell me everything up to and including your witness. And you also have to tell me what was the deal he made? What was this immunity deal. Because if this guy, if they told him, now listen, buddy, okay, Luna, you got me? If you know what's good for you, you won't go cheeky on us. You know, here's your script. I'm not saying they're going to do this, but basically, let me make this straight. You're going to testify to this, this, this. Is that your understanding? Parentheses, that's what you're going to say? Great. Put him on the stand. And let somebody who is even half decent at cross-examination start off with, well, 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 is it Luna? No, Lance, is this you with the fuzzy hat on? I'm just, is that you? Yeah. You don't have that on now, do you? Are you all right? Yeah. Okay. Were you, can I ask a question? Because this goes to the bias of the witness. Were you and my client here, were you lovers? Were you? Now, I don't know about you, but you don't think that's relevant? You don't think if an ex-wife, an ex-girlfriend, they're going to say, objection, why? Because you're kind of tainting the jury. I'm not saying there's anything weird about it. Like Larry David was saying, not that there's anything wrong with it, but I want to know what's going on. Now, you were a woman or you were transitioning. Tell me what this was. I'm just curious. Because I'll be honest with you. if you're going to, if this guy's going to spend the rest of his life and or the firing squad based upon the testimony in part for a guy who wears a fuzzy hat and thought he was a woman and now he doesn't, now he's got a tie on. Again, not that that necessarily makes you crazy, but I want to know a little bit about this. And something tells me that if this goes that far, that old Lance is going to have a hell of a time on the stand to go through this because he's never been. 70-year-old men who are veterans, who've been in war, don't know what this is like. You're in the biggest murder trial in decades, and you're the main witness? And you went from playing D&D in the middle of the night wearing a fuzzy hat to this? Do you know what that's like? Are you sure about this? And that's why I say this with the most guarded and the most optimistic of messages. Please make sure these young men are protected. Please, please, please. We don't want to go through any more. I don't want to say Epstein like a verb, but I found what happens. Do you know what happens in America when all of a sudden key witnesses are dispatched? This is what happens. Oh, they're crazy. They're crazy. What do you want? We have a three day memory period. We have the attention span of a gnat. Nothing bothers us. Not only that, we are fundamentally bereft of the most abecedarian elemental aspects of our Constitution, the right to have the charges proved against him. And then there's this thing too, and I must talk about it. And just to recap, you've got a gun, and you've got a confession, and you've got not guilty. The gun alone. You tell me, let me, before I forget, you tell me any jury that says, oh, so it's inconclusive? You dug something out of Charlie's neck, I'm sorry to say this, that you can't say came from that rifle. Is that what you're saying? And you want me to just assume it did? Why'd you have the test if it doesn't matter? Why did you do the test? You did the test because it matters, right? But now that it didn't connect, I'm supposed to what? Forget this? That's not guilty. That's a reasonable doubt. If I sat there, if this is important, if three people are standing around and they're shooting at some victim, and it turns out that the person didn't have any bullets in this gun that they thought they fired, the argument could be made they were an accessory and blah, 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 blah. But aside from that, it's hard to prove somebody actually caused the death of somebody if the instrument that they used, that everybody swore he used, it's got the DNA and the rag and everything else, and that grand, and why this man was so upset over Grandpappy finding out that his shooting iron was taken, he's facing the death penalty. So he wakes up one day and he says, you know what, I've had enough. In fact, did you hear today when Luna said, did he ever talk politics? Not really. So all of a sudden on his own, he says, I'm going to show you. I'm going to drive 4 hours or whatever it is, and I'm going to do it. Then there's going to be some interesting questions if they ever get to it about who he got in the car with, but that's a different story. But this guy all of a sudden woke up and he took granddaddy's shooting iron and never really fired it and then went to a dairy. And then just, I mean, this for what exactly? Now, here's the thing which I want to throw in. And forgive me for being, because my head is exploding and I've been living this because I love this. It's my life. It's the Constitution. And you should not want anybody to be found guilty of something that they can't prove. But if this was, as they say, a conspiracy, you know what a conspiracy is? Uh-oh. I'm hearing something. I don't know if I should stop or keep going. But a conspiracy is a organization, is an agreement between two or more guilty people.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.